5-1 in the division, 7-1 in the conference. NFC North division champions, the monsters of the Midway, are back.
They give it to Hicks. He's in. It's the French part two. Slips a tackle. Miller to the end zone. Touchdown, Bears.
It's another takeaway for the Bears. Leonard Floyd with a touchdown.
In for the touchdown.
Obsession.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studios in downtown Chicago, it's the Adams, Hogan Johns.
And toss in a little Mark Carmen for pizzazz.
Let's begin now.
Wow, what an open. This feels big. This is the playoffs. I'm really just thrilled to be able to sit with the two Adams, Hogan Johns, the podcast, coming live at you for the next 3 hours at 720 WGN. Was this the vision when you started the podcast, that one day you'd be right here, right now?
Yeah, one day at the place I work. You know, we bring that type of playoff intensity all year on the Hogan Johns podcast.
That's true.
I mean, I don't care if it's February at the Combine or April with the draft or August in Bourbonnais.
But how often is it do you get to sprinkle in a Carmen pizzazz?
Not a whole... Well, he did fill in for me last week when I was in San Diego. Nice job, by the way.
That was awesome. That was a ton of fun.
It was fun.
We celebrated a Bears win over the Vikings. I was talking with Adam Johns walking in here, Adam Hogue, looking around for you. I have to ask you, if the Bears is the season...
Oh, wait, it's at my desk. No one knows that I have here.
Right, I didn't know that existed either, apparently. So, is the season a success, no matter what? They're 12-4. They made the playoffs. Season success. Stamp it, no matter what happens on Sunday. Go.
Yes. Will it be hard to swallow? Sure, but it was still a major success, the step forward that they took this year.
Okay. All right, show's over.
They went 7-1 at Soldier Field. 12-4.
I feel like they got to win on Sunday. You win on. You're at home. You're playing the Eagles. You're the 3 seed. You got the defense that's been rolling. You got a Mitchell Trubisky ready to go. You got an Eagles defense. I think that from that point everything's gravy. But I do feel like I think the team feels like, you know, we got.
I think the team feels Super Bowl or bust.
Do you
that's
really?
Where their expectations start. They're thinking Atlanta, full on Atlanta.
I think they are too.
Yeah,
I think they have been for a while, to be honest with you. But I feel like we need to set some things up here first.
I can see.
He's
bringing too much pizzazz.
There's a lot of people listening here that don't even know what this is, if we're being honest. But Adam Johns over here to my right, in your heads, just try to picture that on the radio. He and I host a podcast all Bear season long. It's called the Hogan Johns Podcast on WGNRadio.com. Up to 3 times a week now. We go 3 times a week once they're good. And so we're here, Bears playoff special. Mark Carmen's going to be in for the entire time, too, kind of helping us guide the deal here.
Yeah, and the phone number's 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you.
Which is important because we have a lot of listeners, I know, from our podcast that are excited that we're on the radio here tonight. So they're not used to calling in live. Our podcast listeners aren't, because it's a podcast. You can't call into a podcast live. We have a great voicemail line that our guy Joe Romano, who's also here and is part of our podcast every single week.
What's up, Joey Jojo?
Yo, what's good?
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Junior Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hey, Joey Jojo.
Joe does a phenomenal job on the podcast and on the Steve Cochran Show, and he stuck around all day just to be here for this special event.
Which is huge, should get a raise and more, maybe a pizza. I love the voicemail segment on the podcast. One of my favorite things to go. I mean, I'm like, are these people real? It's unbelievable. There's so many calls, and they have got, you know, from all over the country. You guys should be honored, thrilled, the whole thing.
Well, we're hoping to hear from our guy Bob Dabrowski.
Oh, he's probably already called.
I hope so.
Is he on hold already?
Yeah,
Joe?
I had to screen him.
Screen him, okay.
Anyway, we're here. It's live tonight on the radio, and we're going to be 3 hours of Bears goodness.
312-981-7200. Bears in the playoffs. Hogan Johns from the podcast to the radio for the next 3 hours. My name is Mark Carbett, sitting along here. So, you guys have been hanging out all week at Hallis Hall. The vibes, every time I listen to Matt Nagy talk this week, I feel like there's just a very positive, excited routine. This is routine. This is what we do, but we're ready to go.
It's not routine, though. It does feel different.
Well, the actual routine has been the same.
Yes. But yes. The vibe is different.
First of all, they seem incredibly loose.
Yes. They're still playing cards. They're still playing basketball. They're still throwing basketballs at us if we happen to get in the way. But it just feels different. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they acknowledge that it is one and done. So there is a difference there. But honestly, you know, the routine has been... the only difference, and I was a little surprised by this because Matt Nagy spent so much time talking about how he wants to keep everything the same, is that he switched up the captains. They voted on captains for the entire playoffs now, as opposed to just going week by week with the coaches selecting them. The players actually voted the captains. It's Mitch Trubisky, Cody Whitehair, Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Tariq Cohen, and
Benny Cunningham.
So that's different. But otherwise, I think the actual routine this week's been the same.
And he's done this in prior stops. That's where Matt Nagy witnessed this come playoff time. They switched
Andy
up the captain.
It's Andy Reid. He's doing what Andy Reid does, and it works. So
why not? The past few weeks, you've had guys like DeAndre Houston, Carson, and Deion Bush and Pat O'Donnell walking out there for the coin toss. So this whole unity team, this team that he's built, this boom team, it's for real. But you needed to establish some leaders. You needed to change the routine, I guess, a little bit. But you're right. They've stuck with what has worked for them throughout the regular season. But you could sense a different vibe there. They know it's one and done.
Stacey Dales from the NFL Network is going to join us after the 7:30 news. We'll also get a hit from Philadelphia with Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer in the 8 o'clock hour. What I really want to hear from our listeners is the trust level that you have with Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback, going into his first playoff game Sunday against an experienced Eagles team that won the Super Bowl. And does it matter? You know, one thing we talked about on the podcast this week, which you can go back and listen to at WGNRadio.com if you want, please subscribe. We appreciate you doing that. Is I think they can get away with a bad game from Mitch this week. I don't think he needs to be perfect.
How bad,
this
though?
Week. Well, obviously, if he's horrendous, that could make things hard. If he's turning the ball over three or four times, I think that he can get away with one or two turnovers, though. A couple bad throws here and there. It was okay against the Vikings at home. Remember, he had a couple throws he regretted in that game on Sunday Night Football. Bears won anyway with their defense. And it was fine against the Rams at home on Sunday Night Football in a big game where both quarterbacks in that game struggled. The Bears' defense still came through. I'm not saying they can win the Super Bowl if Mitch Trubisky plays that way throughout the playoffs. But I think this week at home against this Eagles team, he does not have to be perfect. But yeah, you'd still like to be able to trust him, and I'm not sure everyone does right now.
Yeah, I just see that Rams game as such as it's an outlier, though, to me. He was coming back after missing two games after partially dislocating his shoulder. He clearly did not have a grasp for the moment. Primetime game, biggest game of the year, a statement game against the high-powered Rams, against a quarterback that he knows well, who he lived with in California, whom he shares an agent with, even. I just think the moment seemed to get to him, and he was rusty. Didn't want to call himself rusty, but I'm just trying to view that one as an outlier because he's been efficient since that game.
The beauty of that game for me, though, is you were playing the second best team in the NFC. Trubisky was absolutely terrible, and you won. They won the game. Yeah. I mean, they beat the Rams, and he did nothing. So to your point, Adam Hogue, like...
Well, that was the night I decided that they were really Super Bowl contenders.
Right?
Because you win a game against that good of an opponent, and yes, it helped at home. I don't know that they would have gotten away with that on the road. But to beat a team that good with a quarterback playing arguably his worst game of the season, that was very, very impressive. I mean, they held one of the best offenses in the league to zero touchdowns.
Well, I think the most impressive thing about that game is as bad or as horrendous, to use your word, that Trubisky was. Jared Goff was more horrendous than he was.
It was
horrific.
Which is something I want to talk about in the next segment. I'm curious where Trubisky stacks up amongst the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs right now. Like, if you were to draft him and we're going to play that game, where he would go in a hypothetical draft.
That is an interesting question. I talked to Carson Palmer today. What do you think about the Bears and Trubisky? I love their defense. I mean, that he's look. If they that was his answer. I love their defense. If they get behind, if things don't go the way they're supposed to go early, and you get in a 10-point or 14-point hole, I just don't know if that guy can bring you back. That's his take, but maybe we'll see. He'll be able to do it here. 312-981-7200. Hogan John's on the radio on 720 WGN. We don't make you wait if you're calling in here. Kathy in Highland Park, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your opening question, it would be okay if they lost, but what I'm looking for is the intrigue between the two coaches, Nagy versus Doug Peterson, to see how they outwit each other, given that they've played together, so they may know each other's moves. So, you know, and what I love about Nagy is he's taken his players and maximized their performance to benefit the team. So that's the kind of thing I'm looking for, and I have seen it all season. But I hope they win, man.
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. The whole Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy thing I'm excited about, but I don't know if you guys saw that Nagy recommended Gino's East Pizza, which is just unacceptable.
Capriati's.
I mean, that's your number one, Gino's East. And then apparently they used to go for ice cream, and Peterson's favorite ice cream is soft serve with sprinkles.
Yeah, well, they both like their ice cream.
Soft serve with sprinkles? That you can't lose to a guy who goes soft serve with sprinkles. Bears by 30.
What's your favorite ice cream, Carl?
Give me a regular, actual ice cream, butter pecan, Rocky Road, mint chocolate chip, regular.
I don't know if those are regular ice creams, the first ones you mentioned.
But not soft serve is what I'm saying. Okay. Like, you can't, like, that's not even.
Some people like the soft serve.
I know, that's unacceptable. I'm sorry.
I'm with you. I don't go soft serve.
But it is interesting, their whole connection, and, you know, Peterson calling them up and saying, hey, can you know, hook us up, beat the Vikings, let us get in the playoffs so then we can play each other. That's an interesting dynamic.
And this isn't just a coaching matchup where they happen to be friends and they work together. They're really close. Their wives are close. Their kids are staggered a little bit in age. Peterson's kids are older, but he has three boys. Nagy has four. I don't know if close is the right word there, but they all know each other. I mean, these are families that are genuinely friends. And so here they go up against each other on Sunday. It's a little bit different than just one of these matchups where, oh, this guy's facing his mentor or they used to coach together.
They have similar ideals, too, similar philosophies. This BU mantra that Nagy has, it kind of originated last year in Philadelphia where Doug Peterson, kind of, I don't want to say he ran a loose ship, but he let guys kind of, again, be themselves. So, obviously, there's some similarities with Andy Reid. Obviously, you got the RPOs. Obviously, you have the BU mantra. So, yes, they know each other very well, but like, I think the wild cards in this are the defensive coordinators, personally. I mean, who does a better job at stopping who? Doug Peterson? Can he beat Vic Fangio like he has in the past? And can Jim Schwartz take the Matt Nagy's offense?
That's another point of conversation. We're going to do the quarterback playoff draft coming on back here. This will be fun, so feel free to jump on in. 312-981-7200. Hogan John's, the podcast on 720 WGN.
Hogan John's.
Hot route! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Back to the Allstate Skyline Studios in downtown Chicago. Here's Hogan Johns.
WGN Nightside, Hogan Johns, the podcast on the radio tonight, which is awesome. My name is Mark Carmen, getting to sit in with the Hogan Johns tandem. Bears are in the playoffs, 312-981-7200. And Adam Ho, you've got a little playoff QB draft for us.
So the question is, how would you rank the quarterbacks in this year's playoffs to get you to the Super Bowl this year? Not who would you draft to be the star of your franchise for 10 years, but just as we head into this tournament right now, who would be the guys you would want? So I'll just go first, because I think this first pick's going to be a little controversial.
Sure, go ahead.
Because, you know, you could take Tom Brady, the GOAT, who, by the way, lost in the Super Bowl last year. You could have Drew Brees, who's been there, done that as a veteran. But there is a guy I'm just sold on. I'm sorry, he's just that good. Bears fans aren't going to want to hear it. But right now, the best quarterback, the most talented guy, the guy that can make any play in any given moment is Patrick Mahomes. I would take Patrick Mahomes first right now.
Wow.
So who wants to go second?
Over Tom Brady? I'll go second, then.
I would, because Nick Foles beat Tom Brady last year.
We're still talking about getting to the game. I think there's a lot of young, inexperienced quarterbacks in this draft situation that you got us considering that still have a lot left to prove. So give me the GOAT. Give me Tom Brady. I don't care that he lost to the Eagles last year. He's been there. He's been there a lot. I like my chances.
Is this a snake draft? Does Romano get to go 4 and 5?
No, it's like an NFL draft.
All right, then I'll go 3rd.
It's a snake draft. It's not fantasy football. This is real.
If this is a real draft, then I'll go 3rd. I'll take Drew Brees all day long. I think in the dome, Drew Brees, who's going to, finish 2nd in the MVP voting, I'll take the Saints quarterback.
You know, he might actually still win it because I think there's going to be a lot of voters out there that look at him as almost like a career achievement award. He's never won an MVP. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me if that happens, although the fact that Mahomes did beat him out for All-Pro is significant.
I mean, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, the man's out of his mind. That's Patrick Mahomes. What do you got, JoJo?
I'm going to go with another quarterback who has been to a Super Bowl. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson.
Wow.
Going with a tough game on the road in Dallas, but it's a guy who's been there before. He's played really well this season, and he's got one of the best running games in the entire NFL. I think the Seahawks led the league in rushing.
By the way, this has gone exactly how I had him ranked so far.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, to win the Adam Hogue playoff quarterback draft, is it just the last guy standing or is it numbers?
It's that no one's trying to win. We're just here's what we're trying
to figure
out.
There should be something to
win. Here's
what
we're trying to figure out. Where does Trubisky rank in all of this?
Okay.
All right. Where does the Bears quarterback rank in all of this?
Okay.
I'll go back. I'm next. I got the 5th pick. I'm going to go with Philip Rivers, who's having an outstanding year, veteran, has been in the playoffs before, but really hasn't had a great opportunity to make a run. He's got a tough test this weekend in Baltimore, though, but I will take Philip Rivers.
So I'm up next?
Yep.
Give me Andrew Luck. Career revival. He's back. We know how good he can be when he's on his game. Are the Colts going to be an underdog this entire postseason? Sure, absolutely. They still have a lot left to prove, a lot of holes in their roster, but give me that talent.
Great value. Thought about him at 4.
This is going exactly how I had it ranked. I had Andrew Luck 6. This is where I think it gets really interesting, though.
No, so this I am debating here, but I'm going to go with the guy that he started out slow this year. He was going to be the MVP last year before he got hurt. I am going to take Deshaun Watson and roll with the Houston Texans, your 3 seed in the AFC, to beat Adam Jones's Andrew Luck Colts on Saturday. Is that the night game? That's the first game, rather. 4:35 Saturday afternoon.
Okay. I don't agree with that one, but we'll continue.
Yep, not a whole lot left here on the board.
Oh,
but I'm gonna go with
taking Goff over that Hogue, as I'm guessing.
I'm gonna go with Mitchell Trubisky because because he's got a great defense.
You know what? And this is with the 8th pick, right? I had Trubisky 8th. So my only gripe is you went Watson 7th. I would actually go Nick Foles. Nick Foles he did this last year, and I'm this isn't the draft of who's going to be your quarterback for the next 10 years. It's who's going to get you to the Super Bowl this year. Now, the matchup's tough. I think Trubisky has an easier matchup than Foles does this weekend. But if I had to pick between the two of them, I actually would take Foles. Then I had Trubisky 8th at that point. I think he fits in right there.
So you have Goff below Trubisky.
I had Goff actually pretty much tied with Trubisky.
Okay.
And
how does that work in a draft? How do players tie?
Well, I said pretty much.
Okay.
I'm actually, he just took Trubisky, so he made my decision easier. But I'm going to go with Goff here. You know, really, I give the edge to Trubisky because of, just the last few games. Trubisky bounced back really well from that tough game against the Rams. We'll get into a little bit more of that later. But Goff didn't necessarily. He actually had a couple mistakes the following week against the Eagles, and I think Trubisky's been better the last month of the season. Anyway, I'd go with Goff then after Trubisky. I guess that would be number 9.
So who do we have left here?
Dak.
Prescott, Nick Foles, or Lamar Jackson?
Nick Foles. Nick Foles. He's been there. I don't trust him to do it 2 years in a row. It seems too magical, too good to be true. I know everybody in Philadelphia believes in him, but maybe it ends this weekend here in Chicago.
I'm taking Dak Prescott. Guy's been playing great the second half of the year. And I think that game's these games are awesome this weekend. Seattle and Dallas,
I agree.
Great game. Colts and Texans, great game. Chargers and the Ravens, great game. And Bears and Eagles, route. Bears 40, Eagles 10.
Beat down. Last pick in the draft, I will take Tom Brady's backup.
Was there a Boston accent there?
Yeah, he did a little Tommy.
Tommy.
I think the only quarterback, though, to your, like, the whole where does Trubisky land, Adam Hogue, I think the only quarterback that you can definitely say that, like, every GM would take over, with Trubisky is definitely in front of, is Lamar Jackson. I mean, I think that's it, right?
You know,
he's just a different threat than all of them on the board. He's just different.
I actually saw something earlier this week. I'm trying to remember where that was. But someone did like a power rankings of these quarterbacks and had Lamar Jackson higher than Trubisky, which I find hilarious because these same national people, their knock on Trubisky is that he runs too much. And then they put the running quarterback ahead of him?
Right.
It's come on. All right, we need to get to Stacey Dales.
Yes, and let's take a quick timeout here. Do we have a break for news? We do. All right, quick timeout. We'll get to Andrea's news in 2 minutes on 720 WGN.
Hogan Johns.
Crab-tasting and football. That's what Maryland does.
Let's get you back to Hogan Johns, live from the Allstate Skyline Studios in downtown Chicago.
WGN Nightside, Hogan Johns, the podcast on tonight. Both Adams are here, and my name is Mark Harmon, sitting in. About to talk to Stacey Dales.
The pizzazz.
The pizzazz, apparently. Love that. Love it's a new role for me. We're about to talk to Stacey Dales from the NFL Network here, who is going to give us sort of an eye on the Eagles here, Adam Hogue.
Well, and the Bears. She's been at House Hall this week a lot, and has been around the Bears a lot this season, but she's... she'll be on this matchup this week as we bring in Stacey Dales. Hey, Stacey.
Uh-oh. We might have to recall. How about that, Stacey, in a second, and hopefully we can get a better connection. But
maybe she's in the NFL Network closet at Hal's Hall. I don't know if the signal works well there.
It's not the NFL Network closet anymore at House Hall.
It's the old one.
It's the Hogan Johns podcast closet at House Hall.
You're right. That's a good point.
Before we get to Stacey, can I get a little bit of just a history for you two, just for everybody to know? Adam Hogue, you started covering the team in what year?
8 years ago, whatever that is.
Okay, I believe that's 2010.
It was a year after they went to the NFC Championship game.
Great time to jump on.
Right. Right as things are going
timing
downhill.
Is impeccable.
And Adam Johns?
2012, last year of Lovie Smith.
Okay, Hogue has more seniority. I did not know that. Okay, let's bring Stacey back on here. Stacey, welcome to WGN. Appreciate you taking time. And you get to be on the Hogan Johns podcast on the radio. That's a huge thrill for you, I'm sure, right?
Well, I mean, it took a whole season, you guys. What's up with that?
No, the Bears making the playoffs, I guess. I don't know.
That's our fault. That's our fault.
Well, Stacey, you've been...
No, it's great. It's great to be on with you guys. Obviously, it's, you know, an exciting weekend here in Chicago. And you know, first and foremost, a lot of respect for you guys. And you beat all the time. I don't think people understand the rigors and the efforts. And you know, it's exciting for us that live in Chicago because it's been so bad for so long. And now you have Matt Nagy, who's just incredible. And I'll be on the field, guys, tomorrow for my first report at 8 o'clock, so can't wait.
You've been around Hallis Hall probably just as much as we have, Stacey, over the past few years, from Jay Cutler to this. Where would you define at least the initial differences for you? Where do you feel them most?
Uh-oh. This is like a Russian roulette on question, Ryan. Let's put Stacey back at hold and see if Joey Jojo can work his magic here. These are the problems with cell phone technology. Adam Johns, why don't you answer your own question there out of curiosity?
To me, it starts with Nagy and the quarterback. We haven't had this in Chicago. Jay Cutler and Lovie Smith did not coexist. Well, Mark Trestman and Jay Cutler, great honeymoon. Bad marriage. That divorced quickly. So this just feels different from the get-go. And it starts with Ryan Pace pairing them. They invested in both these guys. He's got Mark Helfrich and Dave Ragone. He's got Allen Robinson. He's got Taylor Gabriel. He's got Anthony Miller. He's got Trey Burton. The list goes on and on and on. This is a different era for the Bears.
Well, and I'm sure Stacey would agree. I mean, she's all around the whole league, too. But you have to have the right people. You know, like, just look at the Jimmy Butler thing that came out today. So he's in another new place, and now he's mad at somebody else. Like, you have to coexist. You have to have people who are willing to coexist. And that's been important for Ryan Pace since he got here. It's just, I think it took a while to find the right pairing, because you can't just always have your pick.
Well, it took him a while to find His pick, his quarterback. Marcus Mariota, no. Carson Wentz, no. Mitch Trubisky, finally. It took some time, but that's when the rebuild really took off, finding that quarterback.
312-981-7200. I want to jump on in here. Like, when did it, as you, first of all, from a Bears fan perspective, just curious if the season is a success is one question. Two, when did, are you more in love, I want to ask that question, are you more in love with the head coach, Matt Nagy, or more in love with Mitchell Trubisky? Because that's, there's a lot of Trubisky love out there for those who are on his side. And the other thing that I want to ask with Adam, with Nagy and Trubisky, to me, they're like the same. As far as they're both football, 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 and like you can say what you want about Mitchell Trubisky, but he's giving you everything he has every single day, and I see the same thing with the head coach.
Yeah, and I think if you're a fan, you got to like both of them. Now, which one would I feel more confident about at this point, having the most success down the road? I'd lean towards the head coach right now with Matt Nagy because, I mean, other than a couple decisions here and there, maybe the settling for a 53-yarder in Miami and maybe a couple things here and there, I mean, he has really been spot on throughout the season, very consistent in his messaging. And honestly, I think it's actually pretty easy to look bad as a head coach on game day with all the decisions that you have to make throughout an entire game. And he's had very few of those moments this season. And I think that that matters, whereas Trubisky's been a little bit more up and down throughout the year.
Are you telling me he didn't challenge a touchdown that turned into a change of possession your rival?
No, that he did not.
That did not happen. Just in terms of Trubisky, like one of the biggest knocks on Cutler was the time spent in the building. And look, I think some of his positive characteristics, some of his positive attributes were overlooked. But Mitch Trubisky is different. There's a different type of charisma there. It almost seems more natural. People see what he's doing. People see how he carries himself, really going from meeting to meeting to meeting. He's different. He's a different breed of person.
Let's try Stacey Dales one more time here, see if we can get a good connection for the finish here. Stacey, welcome back to WGN. This is the winner. Thanks. I can feel it.
I feel it, guys. Sorry about that. Some bad connections out here.
That's all right. But, Stacey, you're not only around the Bears, but you get to kind of see these relationships across the entire league. What has impressed you about Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky and that bond that has been formed this year?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And to the original question, I think it all ties in, you know. When you say what's the difference been? I mean, it's just been a complete cultural shift. And when you're in locker rooms around the league, you guys, and you walk in those locker rooms, there's a palpable energy of a winning team or a losing team. And it all starts with the leadership. It starts with the head coach. I've said several times this year, the Bears remind me of the Eagles last year. They remind me of Dan Quinn's young Atlanta team that went to the Super Bowl. They remind me of the Seahawks when Russell Wilson took his team to a Super Bowl. They have that sort of naivete, if you will, and it starts with Nagy. I mean, this guy may be the most positive coach I've ever been around. He motivates me. You know, and then you go to the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, who wants to win as bad as a player, you know, as much as a player that I've witnessed. And he's put in the work. And what I think is really interesting, you guys, and you know this as well, Nagy has admitted this week that Mitch is just now figuring out the identity of this offense. That's kind of scary when you think about it if you're the opposition, because it's taken, we're now ostensibly week 18 of the NFL season as we get ready for this playoff game, and Mitch is now learning and figuring this thing out in terms of his progressions, first, second, third down. That's remarkable to me.
Stacey, I know you spent some time talking to some Eagles players this week. What do they think of this Bears defense, which is statistically one of the best in recent history?
Wow. All three phases. You know, I talked to a great, you know, receiver, Nelson Aguilar, on the phone a couple days ago, who had the two touchdowns last week against the Redskins. And just the amount of talent from the front to the back of the defense. And, you know, how detailed they're going to have to be in terms of their route running. I mean, the end of their routes and the communication with Nick Foles, because this Bears defense, you know, he talked to me about the front, obviously, the linebackers, and then he went to the secondary. And, you know, I think Eddie Jackson's going to play, you guys. I mean, he told me that in the locker room this week. He's most likely going to play. So this will be a task. This will be a task. And I think the big thing for the Bears defensively, you know, in talking to them this week is you can't give up the big play, and you know, Vic Fangio said it, the defensive coordinator, we have to keep these guys in front of us because Nick Foles thrives on that deep football down the field, which really hurt, you know, it really earned him a Super Bowl championship last year with these Eagles.
You better have another Patriots. You better have another plan for Sunday. That's not happening. Yeah.
Well, but that is one of the things about this matchup. I mean, the Bears don't really give up big plays like that, and they haven't as long as the pass rush gets home. We're talking to Stacey Dales. You see her all the time on the NFL Network. You can follow her on Twitter, at Stacey Dales. You mentioned you're going to be starting your hits tomorrow early. You're going to be covering this game all weekend. Stacey, what are some of the unanswered questions that you still have that you'll be trying to figure out between now and when that ball gets kicked off at 3:40 Central Time on Sunday?
I think it's just experience, guys. I mean, you have a first-year head coach and a second-year quarterback, and I think Matt Nagy's going to learn here. And, it's, you know, we go back to that week one loss in Green Bay, and he talked extensively about all the things that he didn't know going into his first head coaching game, really. I mean, you know, calling the plays for the first time as the head coach and et cetera, et cetera. Now it's the playoffs. And he said this week the intensity, it's not even close to what the regular season is. So I'm anxious to see how Nagy comes out and how aggressive he is. We know he loves to do the, you know, these gadget plays, this unique stuff with his defensive players going to offense. You know, when Nick Kwiatkowski is catching touchdowns, I mean, is he going to do that stuff on Sunday against the Eagles? Is he going to be risky like that? I think he will be. And then just to see Mitch's poise, I mean, this atmosphere, guys, can you imagine this? This is going to be electric. I have goosebumps. I've had them all week. I'm super excited.
If this goes the way of the Eagles, Stacey, what will we be talking about after the game on Sunday?
Oh, wow. What a great question. If it goes the way of the Eagles, I think we're going to be talking about experience. I think we're going to be talking about Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl last year. Nick Foles did it. Nick Foles is outstanding. In all four of his playoff games, guys, he has a plus 100 passer rating. He doesn't miss when the lights are on. And his players really trust him. That's what Nelson Aguilar told me this week. You know, he knows the personnel. He knows exactly where to go with the football. So they have an experience factor that the Bears don't have. But, I really do think this Chicago defense is rare. I think that they are the best in football. I know the Ravens have been really good this year, but I think from top to bottom, this is the best defense in the NFL. And I think they're going to shut down this Eagles offense, personally, in my opinion. And I think Mitch is going to have a really great game. I just have a good feeling about this team this week. They're loose, but they're focused. You know, Danny Trevathan's got a Super Bowl, Prince Amukamara. They're not completely void of experience. They have a couple guys who know how to get it done, and I think they're ready to go.
Stacey, I forget if it was you who asked the question in Halas Hall earlier this week. The Bears are big favorites, but yet there's this underdog feel amongst them. Maybe that's just nationally. Maybe a lot of people don't believe in them. Maybe that's Trubisky. Has national perception of them kind of changed? Has that been on a roller coaster this season? Just like Trubisky's season's been on a roller coaster? How would you define the national perspective on the Bears right now?
Such an interesting question, Adam, and I did ask this week, and I think people kind of looked at me and like, why are you asking if they feel like the underdogs? Well, nationally, you know, I'm doing a hit, for instance, this weekend, guys, and I throw it back. I think it's to Kurt Warner. You know, is Mitch Trubisky ready for this moment? I mean, there are still people doubting this young man. They have 12 wins. He orchestrated a 16-play drive against the Vikings last week that was sensational. And there's still this national perception that, well, I don't believe the Bears are going to win. I mean, I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl. And if there's a team that I wouldn't want to play in this playoff run, for me, it would be the Chicago Bears. You know, I just think they are just stupendous defensively, and their offense is still learning. So, this, the national perspective from some is a conversation a couple days ago. You know, I don't think the Bears are going to win. Don't think they're ready. I mean, so if that answers the question, right?
And I guess to be fair to that perception, it's on Trubisky to change it. Yep. I mean, and he's given people reasons to doubt. Obviously, he's had his struggles, but there's only one way to find out. That's by playing the football game on Sunday. It all starts there. He's got to. I wrote this for Sunday Sun Times. He's got to rewrite the Bears' history on Bears quarterbacks in the playoffs.
Stacey, one of the reasons why I find this playoff so fascinating this year, there's a lot of parity. It seems to be more wide open than it has been in past years, and I think it's 9 out of the last 10 Super Bowl teams that have been in the Super Bowl were actually one seeds. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen this year. But there's also this idea, there's been so much focus on paying these quarterbacks and offense, offense, offense. Wouldn't it be fascinating if the Ravens and Bears ended up in the Super Bowl? I mean, maybe you see a shift back to defense all of a sudden.
I wouldn't mind it, I got to tell you. You know, being around these players, and it's a great point, the parity is, I mean, we could have a Super Bowl, you know, the Super Bowl winner that's playing this weekend. I mean, I the L.A. Chargers are legit, guys. I mean, Phillip having the best season of his career, the best interception touchdown ratio of his career at his age. And, you know, he's, you know, you look at a team like that, he's going to play the Ravens this weekend. And the big thing with him is he's not trying to do it all for the first time in his career because he's got a lot of talent around him. And I just, you're right. Like, the parity right now is awesome. It's great for the game. And, you know, from experience, just in covering this league for over 10 years now, these young, naive teams, like Trey Burton told me a few weeks ago, you know, we're so young, it's like we don't even know better. He's like, we don't even know better. If you think about that, that's pretty cool. And these young, naive teams are getting there, just like the Eagles did last year. You know, Carson Wentz has this fairy tale season, and then, boom, he's injured. Well, guess what? The energy in their locker room was so good that they still went ahead and won the Super Bowl. I mean, they were just so much fun to cover. I don't know about you guys, but is this Bears team not just a heck of a lot of fun this year? I mean,
no doubt.
You walk into their locker room like almost giggling because they're so happy and they're so willing to talk to you. Which, guys, as you know, that wasn't the case even last year.
No. I'm still waiting for you, Stacey, to teach them a few things on the basketball court they have set up in the locker room there. We all know when you walk in there, you're the best player at Hallis Hall.
Well, that's so sweet of you. I haven't picked up a basketball in so many years, but I did tell Trey Burton a couple of days ago or last week that I was like, because they have those hoops in there, like you mentioned. I was like, I'll play you. He's like, okay. I said, I'll play with my offhand, though. I'll give you a chance.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, I like it. Yes. Little trash talk.
Nice.
So he told me we'll set it up this offseason.
All right. 8 a.m. tomorrow, NFL Network?
You bet, guys. I have 8 reports tomorrow, so I've got to try to save some of my content, you know, for Sunday. But, shoot, I am so excited. Tom Pelissero will be covering the Eagles on the other sideline with me all weekend. So we're going to have a bunch of fun. Can't wait to see you guys on Sunday. You guys have done a hell of a job all year, and you always do each year, and I just have a lot of respect. So I appreciate you having me on.
Stacey, thank you so much, Stacey.
Stacey, great stuff. We'll be watching you tomorrow morning. Boomer Sooner, and have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Appreciate that.
All right, Stacey Dales from the NFL Network with us on the Hogan Johns Podcast, WGN Nightside, with you till 10 on 720 WGN. WGN Nightside, the Hogan Johns Podcast. Adam Hogue, the Bears All Pros were named today. One name not on there. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks did not make it.
Snub.
You know, it's tough the way they have this set up. You got your edge rushers and then the interior linemen. So
there's a flex, though.
I know. I don't get it.
It's like a fantasy team.
Well, speaking of that, Tyreek Hill, first team flex, second team wide receiver.
If this was a fantasy team, that would not work.
How are you on two teams? But that's just the way the voting goes. So interior lineman on the first team, Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, okay, fine. But then Chris Jones and J.J. Watt are the interior lineman on the... Like, J.J. Watt's not an interior lineman. He's an outside defensive end or an edge rusher the way he plays. So the way this is stacked up, I don't necessarily like it. But meanwhile, Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson, and Tariq Cohen gets in there as a punt returner to 4 all pros. That's incredible for the Bears.
Well, it just speaks how far they've come in their roster construction.
Was that a good signing when they re-upped with Kyle Fuller and didn't let him go to Green Bay? Was that a good decision?
Yep. I think they handled the whole thing pretty much as perfectly as possible.
Ryan Pace, quite quite the year. Hey, coming up, the stories that matter with Andre Darlis from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And then after 8 o'clock, Adam Hogue, what do we got after 8 o'clock?
We're talking to Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We'll find out a little bit about the Eagles. And before we go to break, just a quick note that you can chew on. Think about the fact that Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, Allen Robinson, and Vic Fangio, there's a team up north in Green Bay that wanted all four of those guys. Ryan Pace won the battle for all of them. Talk about changing a season. It could have been a lot
Executive
different.
Executive of the year.
Who are the Packers playing tomorrow, Sunday?
I think they're on a golf course. You know, I was near Torrey Pines last week, and maybe they could play there.
That's a great spot for them. 720 WG.
12-4, 7-1 at home. The NFL's number one ranked defense. 5-1 in the division. 7-1 in the conference. NFC North division champions. The monsters of the Midway are back.
They give it to Hicks. Hicks in. It's the French part two. Slips a tackle. Miller to the end zone. Touchdown, Bears.
It's another takeaway for the Bears. Leonard Floyd with a touchdown.
Trubisky in for the touchdown.
Obsession. Live from the Allstate Skyline Studios in downtown Chicago, it's the Adams, Hogan Johns,
and toss in a little Mark Carmen for pizzazz.
Let's begin now.
Thank you, Ernie Skadden. You're the man. Hogan Johns, the podcast on WGN Nightside tonight till 10. My name is Mark Carmen. Bears and the Eagles Sunday. You guys going to sleep well tonight, tomorrow? Is it normal sleep for you?
Yeah, these are my two nights to catch up on all the sleep I didn't get earlier in the week.
Yeah, I'm not playing. I'm okay.
I get a little hyped for a playoff game. You know, you guys got to get it. It's a whole other, you know, it's a different level.
The guy we need to worry about is our next guest, Zach Berman, because he's the one who's traveling here.
Right.
Gets to spend a night or two in Chicago. You got to worry about that kind of sleep, right, Zach?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Zach's with the Philadelphia Inquirer, been covering the Eagles all season long, and you were in the scrum the other day with Alshon Jeffrey when he completely blasted the city. People are upset about this, Zach Berman.
Yeah, I was in there, and I didn't perceive it as Alshon blasting Chicago. I just perceived it as Alshon not really in the mood to reminisce. I asked him if he was emotional at all about going back there, and he essentially said he likes Philadelphia. Chicago is a place that he worked, but it was more a way to just kind of reroute the question to get to the next question.
See, Zach, you and I were texting about this, and I just thought it was Alshon being Alshon. This is a guy that before he left here, told us he loved the city like every single time we talked to him. I love Chicago. This is a business, but I love Chicago. Love the fans. I just think he's been misunderstood again. He's a competitive guy. He's kind of a soft-spoken guy, but he's still the same old Alshon Jeffrey, who's actually paid off quite nicely, I think, for the Eagles. Has he not?
Yes, and to your point about Chicago, this is also the same Alshon Jeffrey who, leading up to the Bears game last year, was saying the same types of things, just another game, not really making a big deal about it. And then after the game, he picked that of all days where he was Michael Jordan throwing back jersey.
Yeah.
So sometimes he's kind of subtle in his messaging, too.
You can follow him on Twitter at ZBerm. That's a good idea for this weekend. He gets the Eagle side of things. Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer. There's another guy that has that used to be in Chicago that I think was a decent reason why Alshon went to Philadelphia, and that's Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator, who was his position coach here in Chicago and then again in Philadelphia. But what I'm curious about, with Frank Reich leaving Philadelphia, with John DeFilippo leaving Philadelphia in the offseason, Mike Groh getting promoted into that offensive coordinator job, how has he been received in that job this year, and I guess what can you tell us about the job he has done as the Eagles OC?
Yeah, it's funny you ask, because Mike Groh's been under a lot of heat this year, and some of it is somewhat unfair. And the reason I say that is because the offensive coordinator job here is different than it is in a lot of other places, in that he doesn't call the plays, and he was replacing someone in Frank Reich who was, very popular. Obviously, went on to be the Colts head coach, and Eagles had so much success as an offense last season, both with Carson Wentz and with Nick Foles, and really through the first two-thirds of the year this year, they struggled offensively, or they were inconsistent offensively. And I think when fans and reporters looked at what's different, it was easy to look at the changes in the coaching staff. But it was Doug Peterson's offense a year ago. It's Doug Peterson's offense this year, too. So how's he doing? There are adjustments there, and certainly the offensive coordinator has a part in the game planning and needs to be a voice in the head coach's ear. But I would hold Doug Peterson more accountable for when they're underachieving, and that's when they've had the success they've had the past few weeks.
Zach, if you can, take us through St. Nick, the magic of Nick Foles. How real is this? Is it really history repeating itself? What is coming to Chicago?
Yeah, so the St. Nick, so to speak, the Nick Foles hysteria, that's in full bloom here in Philadelphia. Obviously, Super Bowl MVP has done a lot of good things with the Eagles, and then really took over a team that was almost left for dead at 6-7. I'm sorry, at 6-7, and has won three straight games here. What he's doing is first off, he's an extension of Doug Peterson's offense. So really, those two are in tune. You saw that during the playoffs last year. You're seeing that this year. He's taking more chances downfield, giving his skill players a chance to make plays on the ball. Alshon Jeffrey, especially. You look at Alshon Jeffrey's numbers in these past three games. He's 5-plus catches, 100-plus yards per game. And a lot of that has to do with Nick Foles giving Alshon a chance to make plays on the ball. And really, the team's rallying around him, and there is something about Nick that is intangible quality that players and fans gravitate toward. That being said, I've covered Nick's entire career in Philadelphia for the first few years, and then when he came back, and there's been games with the bad Nick Foles too, and you can't dismiss those. And that's what I'm real curious to see about Sunday, when you see a defense that turns can force turnovers at the rate the Bears do. That's an area that Foles has struggled with. He has six multi-interception games in his career. He's 1-5 in those six games. So I'm real curious to see if that happens.
Well, let's flip to the other side of the ball here, Zach. And Philly's given up 269 yards a game through the year. That's third from the bottom in the league. Is Mitchell Trubisky going to have a huge day here? Or are those stats, if you haven't watched the Eagles all season long, is it not as easy to throw on Philly as the stats would make you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's as easy now as the stats would make you think. They had a period there in the middle of the year, especially when they just had so many injuries in their secondary, and they were just trying to figure out what to do on defense. You know, for instance, Cravon LeBlanc, a player who Bears fans know, you know, the Eagles signed him off the street, and he was playing the next week. They've lost four of their top five defensive backs going into the year. With that being said, they've really started to stabilize things in these past few weeks, and they're coming off an outstanding performance against Washington, albeit an undermanned Washington team, but you know they shut out Washington, and you know the key for the Eagles defense, especially their pass defense, if we're talking about it, is the pass rush. If they can win at the line of scrimmage, they're going to be tough for Trubisky. And Fletcher Cox, especially, is the player to watch there. Career high 10.5 sacks this year, has 6.5 sacks during the month of December, so he's really hot. And then, you know, that's a matchup you need to watch, because if they can win at the line of scrimmage, it's going to be a long day for Trubisky. If Trubisky has time or he can extend plays, that secondary can be picked apart.
Zach, give us an idea of the injury situation going into this game. You know, for the Bears, all eyes are going to be on Eddie Jackson, who we think is going to play, but it is technically a game-time decision. The Bears, all-pro safety. On the Eagles side, though, looking at the injury report, I mean, there's a few big names on here that are questionable. Jason Peters, left tackle. I know he's been dealing with a quad. Michael Bennett has been pretty good this year. He's got a foot. And Avante Maddox, I know, popped up on the injury report this week with an oblique. What is your thoughts on those guys and their availability for Sunday?
Yeah, so the first thing you mentioned, Jason Peters, Michael Bennett, I feel confident that they would be playing The thing to watch with Peters is if he finishes the game. There's been a few times this year where he started it and he's had to come off the field. Michael Bennett, I know he's questionable, but this has kind of been the way they've operated with him the past few weeks, where he sat out a few days of practice, has come back on Friday. He'll play on Sunday and he'll be productive. Avante Maddox is a real interesting one because he popped up on injury report later in the week, as you said, and questionable for this game. And he's been a big reason why that secondary has stabilized and why the defense has stabilized. He's a fourth-round pick who came back a few weeks ago and has become a starting corner for the Eagles, started at safety earlier this year, and been one of their more productive players. Has been a surprise on the defense. And if he can't go, that would be a problem. So that's the player I'll be watching pregame, is to see how Avante is looking. From all indications I've heard, he'll be good to go Sunday. But you just want to see kind of the quality that he's playing at.
Zach, we spend so much time dissecting Trubisky here, and even dissecting the criticism of Trubisky here. I'm curious, what are they saying about him in the Eagles locker? What are the defensive backs saying? What's Michael Bennett saying about Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, so with Trubisky, you know, they saw him last year, and clearly there's improvement this year. You just look at it statistically. I think the thing that they'll be cognizant of with Trubisky is the mobility. And that's something that the Eagles have struggled with, frankly, against some mobile quarterbacks this year, whether you're looking at Deshaun Watson, Cam Newton, Marcus Mariota, Andrew Luck, a few other mobile quarterbacks they've seen. But if you talk about what the defensive players are saying about Trubisky, really their focus is more on stopping the run. That's kind of the number one thing the defense is looking at going into the week is how can they try to make the Bears one dimensional. And you know, that's not against Trubisky per se. That's kind of their attitude each week. But especially when they look at this game, and really you look at the Eagles Bears game last year, what the Eagles were able to do against that Bears rushing offense. I think Jim Schwartz and the defensive players, their number one priority is going to be limit the run, and then they'll try to get that pass rush after Trubisky.
Let's not look at that game. Let's not think about that game. Let's bury that game. What was it, 31-3? Whatever it was?
I think the running backs had negative yards. That being said, I don't need to tell you guys and your listeners, this is a much different Bears team, and frankly, this is a much different Eagles team, too. This Eagles team is not as good as last year's team.
Real quick, Zach, before you go, prediction?
Yeah, so I'm actually going with the Eagles on this one, and I have a lot of respect for the Bears' defense and the fact they're 7-1 at home. But you know, I'm going with the better quarterback, and I just seen Nick Foles do it in the postseason. So I could be wrong, and certainly that what Vegas says matters here too. But I'm going with the quarterback, so I'm going with Nick Foles this one.
All right, please send us 4 Philly cheesesteaks after the Bears win by 20.
You got it.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
All right, Zach.
It.
We'll see you on Sunday at Soldier Field.
Thank you, Zach.
Zach Berman, Philadelphia Inquirer, at Z Berm on Twitter. We could talk some Eagles coming back here. Just raise up the terror here. What scares you about Philly?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of tape this week on the Eagles. I'll share what I saw, and also we'll come back. And that prediction there is interesting. Not that he's tanking the Eagles, but the reasoning to me, I think it speaks to a lot of the conversation we've had about Trubisky this season.
He just said it so easily. I'll take the better quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know that he's the better quarterback.
Well, there's a lot of...
I know I just said I would draft Foles over Trubisky, but I don't know that it's... For this playoff, I don't know that it's
a lot
that...
of turmoil in your draft room
there,
Adam.
I know.
Get it together.
Yeah, it's interesting about the draft, too. Like, Foles, sure, maybe he's the better quarterback, but... what about his competition? Like, he's going up against the best defense in the playoffs, right?
Right, which is why I pointed out when I did that, I would much rather be Mitch on Sunday going up against the Eagles than Nick Foles going up against the Bears. And honestly, I don't know if Zach right there was giving the Bears defense enough credit for what Nick Foles is going to face on Sunday. Anyway.
It would have been nice if you had just softened. I'll take the more experienced quarterback. That was just a bigger. That was a solid zing. All right, 312-981-7200. You want to get in here, talk some Bears and the Eagles? What scares you about Philly? Adam has a scouting report for us next. It's Hogan Johns on 720 WGN.
And the extra point. That's two now that have been missed as Parkey hit the upright, 41 yards away. hit those uprights, can he? Three times today, he has hit the uprights. This will be a 34-yard try toward the upright. Unbelievable. Can you believe this? He's hit four uprights today. If you paid him to do that, he couldn't do it.
All right. I forgot about Cody Parkey until right now.
Yeah.
I really wasn't even thinking about
it. It wasn't the real sound, was it?
Yeah, it was.
That sounded pretty real to me.
Really?
Yeah, it came through pretty clear on the broadcast.
Yeah.
It was...
I guess you don't hear it on the coach's film when you watch it, but...
It also reminds
there's
me...
There's no need for me to watch it either anyway.
Who are our announcers for Sunday? Not Chris Myers?
No, it's Chris Collinsworth, who
Kurt Fuller.
And Al Michaels, who are at Hallis Hall today.
Okay. All right, good. So we got the A team.
You got the eight.
Matt Nagy.
The NBC crew.
Sorry, Mike Nagy. Kurt Fuller.
I see. I don't mind when they get the names wrong. I would do that. That's fine. Get a name wrong. Your
pronunciations are okay, but when you change the guy's name, and we're not talking about like a complicated name. We're talking about Mike and Kyle.
It should never happen, but it doesn't bother me as much as like the guy. Did you hear the level of excitement? Give me something. But we don't need to break down Chris Myers.
And that is a clean pick by Kurt Fuller.
Adolfo Soriano.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about the Eagles. By the way, this is a good time for our callers to call in to 312-981-7200. We're going to get into some Vic Fangio conversation. But I'm curious from our listeners, what worries you this weekend the most about the Eagles? Is it Nick Foles? Or even it's just stuff on the Bears side? Maybe it's Cody Parkey. And by the way, Bob Dabrowski doesn't call in the next hour and a half. We're canceling the podcast.
I was going to say,
it's not going to exist.
He's going to be on a voicemail ban for sure. Yeah. In all seriousness.
He's going to get a playoff suspension from the voicemail line.
Yeah,
which might be harsh, but
I mean, now I just want to hear Drabowski just to feel
Drabowski,
just to feel it. That's my Chris Myers. 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
All right,
what's your biggest concern here, Adam Hoge, after watching the tape you scout the Eagles?
Yeah, well, I think that first of all, Fletcher Cox is a beast and is the most obvious thing I could point to as a problem. But I also would like to point out the Bears did a really good job against Aaron Donald. And not only just James Daniels one-on-one a couple times, but they schemed so much towards knowing where Aaron Donald was on every single play. Now, what's different in this one is I think up front, you also have to deal with Haloti Ngata, Michael Bennett. These are guys who – Chris Long, too. These are guys who – are older in their careers, though. So these are big names that you all know, but it's not like they're going up against an all-pro defensive line across the board. But it is a big factor in this game. What the Bears' offensive line, and I think it's a huge boost to get Kyle Long back in this football game. I just think a lot of this is going to be decided there on that side in terms of how much the Bears are able to move the football, because if they can neutralize Fletcher Cox, I actually think they could put up some big numbers in this game and win comfortably.
I think they did a better than a good job against Aaron Donald. One quarterback hit. That guy is a freak. Absolute monster. Lives in backfields. He ate Patrick Mahomes up on some plays in that high-scoring affair that they had against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, his one quarterback hit, Adam, came on a screenplay by right past Brian Witzman. He was allowed to get to Trubisky. Just saying.
Now, when it comes to Nick Foles, his short accuracy is really good. I think that's one of the reasons why. And that is such an underrated thing. I feel like I talk about that all the time on our Northwestern broadcast with Clayton Thorson, because sometimes on shorter throws or timing to get the yards after the catch, it's so important. That's one of the big reasons why Nick Foles has had success, because when he's throwing short and he's got to hit guys on the run, he had a nice throw to Darren Sproles on one of the tapes I watched where he just led it perfectly, and there was a good camera angle from the side where he was just led perfectly and was able to run the rest of the way into the end zone. And by the way, Darren Sproles is still a legit weapon. I mean, he's still popping on that tape, whether it's on special teams or offensively.
Fangio said so himself.
It's actually impressive. Now, I touched on this earlier. Nick Foles has had a lot of success throwing to Alshon Jeffrey. Jeffrey, 8 catches on 8 targets against the Rams. Foles has also found Nelson Aguilar, which I believe Stacey Dales brought up when she was on with us earlier. 83-yard touchdown bomb to Aguilar against the Texans. Foles is not afraid to throw deep. He doesn't do it a whole lot. I think it's been a little misrepresented this week in that all they do is throw deep. No, they throw short mostly, but he will go deep if a guy is open. So it's huge for Eddie Jackson to play.
Absolutely.
But I'll also say it's huge for Eddie Jackson to be effective. And that's why I think Nagy was being honest, optimistic about him playing, but needs to be careful to make sure Jackson's still effective, because if he's not, that's where you get into trouble. And if they have any kind of blown coverage, which is not what this defense has been known for this year, but if they do, Nick Foles will take advantage.
You know, I spent a lot of time watching Deion Bush against the Vikings. He wasn't that bad. Other than his clothesline over the middle, who was it on? Stephon Diggs, I forget.
Yeah, he just like ripped him down.
Yeah, took off his helmet.
Even that play, he was playing hard. I mean, it's going to happen.
Playing fast.
And, and the penalty was actually for the face mask, I believe. It wasn't pass interference.
No, he hit him in the head.
Yeah.
He was playing fast. That stood out to me. Much faster than his previous game filling in Freddie Jackson.
Real quick, there was one vulnerability on the Eagles' defense that I noticed. Deshaun Watson escaped the pocket a ton, was able to pick up yards with his legs. It's one of Mitch's strengths. I think watch for Trubisky to have some big runs in this game, whether by design or just scrambling.
As the pizzazz on the show, you guys have to make this decision. We are up against the break here. We got news coming up. Bob Dabrowski is on hold. Are we going to leave him there till after the news? Yes, we are. No, we're going to take him right now. We got to get Bob in right now. I mean, this is a legendary caller, okay. Right? You called for Bob. Bob's calling.
Here he is.
Bob, welcome to Hogan Johns on 720 WGN. You are a cherished, cherished caller, sir.
Hoagie Cat and Johnsy Bib doing the live thing now. How about it? You guys moving up in the world, eh?
We're trying to. We're trying to, my friend.
Just have you to thank, Bob.
Well, I love to hear it. I love to get you guys more 3 hours of Friday night just with some of my buds here going over the game plan for Coach on Sunday afternoon. And I got to say, I like the way the Bears match up in this one. I think, you know, we got Mitch dropping back, and if they can control the middle of the line like they did against the Rams, and Mitch's got all day, he's going to pick apart that secondary. And, you know, their offense don't scare me against this defense. We got Khalil Max, and we got Akeem Hicks. He's going to be playing angry. That dancing bear is going to dance in the backfield all day night.
I love it. I love it. So where's the tailgate going to be on Sunday, most importantly?
Tailgate, north end zone probably. By that museum there, and going to be going live, I think, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Take us up to kickoff, and, you know, I'll be there, and I'll be cheering the booms on third down or whatever coach wants. We got to get to him later and figure that out. But, yeah, it's going to be rocking in there, and I can't wait.
Well, we're going to give you a big opportunity here, Bob. A bold prediction. Bold prediction. You got one for us?
Bold prediction. Yeah, I got one for you. Let's see. I got Bears 33 honoring the great Peanut Tillman. And I think it might surprise some, but the Eagles get on the board 33-13.
Okay. Okay.
And I think Shaheen, the Grizzly Giant, he gets a touchdown. Oh, I got a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction.
I got a bold prediction.
Bolder.
You think you guys are going to like this one. The Dabrowski double reverse deluxe comes into play on Sunday afternoon on the lakeshore.
So the backstory on this is our friend here has been emailing us about this play that he wants us to get to Nagy. So maybe he found a way to get it to Nagy.
No, I think I wasn't saying you guys got to tell him. I think Coach has already got this in the book. Okay, it's the exact thing that he ran Thanksgiving against the Lions with Daniel in there. But instead of Daniel running on the second reverse screen, he drops back. He heaves a dart downfield to, I don't know, Tony Miller or somebody.
Bob, great call. Appreciate you. Love the Dabrowski double reverse, double nickel.
Deluxe.
My bad.
You can order it on the at your nearest drive-thru.
At Dabrowski.com.
Thank you, Bobo.
News next, 720 WGN.
How will you balance your time this week, making sure you're ready for this game, also ready for your interviews for head coach's spot next week?
I've done zero on that second part. I have enough on my plate coaching these guys and the other things and deal with it as they come up.
Flattering to have job interviews?
I guess, but I don't get flattered that much.
What would that opportunity to be a head coach mean to you?
No, we'll tackle that when time comes.
A lot of your guys have said they don't even want to think about the possibility of you leaving. What does that even mean to you, just that they have been such strong advocates to keep you here?
Well, it's nice of them to say that. I appreciate that. And, you know, feedback from those guys is always valued. So I appreciate that and like it.
What would be important for you in a head coaching opportunity? What would make you attracted to a certain job?
If the situation's good, and then you're going to say, well, what's good? there's a lot of things, you know, working with management, players, you know, et cetera. I mean, I haven't given a lot of thought. I'm not lying to you guys. I mean, I've got zero up there done.
You going to do some Sunday night, Monday morning?
I don't know. I have not returned one phone call. I have not done one piece of work for it. I refuse to, and that's it.
Were you upset with the Cubs? There,
yes, I was.
Did you prepare for that?
Oh, I haven't prepared for that either.
A lot of people need preparation for that.
Yeah, I really don't. That's why I'm here.
Standing strong forever. Ah, it's a tribute to Vic Fangio. It's almost like the Hogan Johns podcast.
I had 8:41 as the first time tonight Carm would start singing on the show, so we officially hit the over.
It's the pizzazz we needed, though, Adam.
He is the pizzazz.
I was singing the whole, every quote there with the song underneath it. That was a great job by Joey Jojo. I was feeling it. Okay, so you're listening to Hogan Johns, the podcast. They're allowing Mark Carm and me to sit in with them. It's WGN Nightside. Process all that on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. The Bears are in the playoffs.
We're usually a podcast you can hear three times a week on WGNradio.com. Bears special tonight. They brought us in. We're having fun. This is one of the things that's sort of a sidebar to this big playoff game.
Journalism words. I like it.
Sidebar, yeah.
Sidebar.
I mean, it's a big story for this franchise right now. Is Vic Fangio
main item
going to be the defensive coordinator next season, because he is so important to this team right now, and he's going to be doing some interviews either Sunday night or Monday morning. I know Pat Finley was trying to get the exact itinerary there and what the sound you heard.
Zero.
Pat sits right under the microphone at Hal's Hall. Can't ever hear a question he actually asks.
Ask the softest questions ever asked in the history of the world.
But if there's something worth laughing at, you hear clear as day.
I appreciate Patrick. I just
you say that with the biggest smile.
Well, because I'll see him, you know, asking questions at Bears press conferences. Then he's sitting in the front row at a Northwestern basketball game. He's got the family out there. He's always smiling. I just like a nice, friendly Patrick Finley in my Bears coverage.
Matt Nagy had fun with him again today. Oh, Pat, it's Flannel Friday again. Called him a lumberjack a couple weeks ago for his flannel shirt, and it's become a theme at Hallis Hall.
We would love to hear some Bears fan enthusiasm as we build towards the game here on Sunday. Like, how excited are you at the Bears in the playoffs? I'd like to hear some Super Bowl calls coming in here. We're going all the way, 312-981-7200. And Vic Fangio perhaps leaving, which he's at least going to be interviewed. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think you guys do either. But I look, you know, as we start the Fangio conversation, one of the great things that Matt Nagy did coming over here was not being intimidated by that guy and paying whatever we got to pay him. I want that guy as my defensive coordinator.
Well, one of the things we learned, too, talking to Doug Peterson this week, is that Andy Reid is not very open to you taking his other assistants with him to whatever job you take. So, and on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know what kind of contacts Matt Nagy has. I'm sure he had some ideas, but it was pretty obvious that he was walking into a job that was very established on one side of the football, not only with the coordinator, but the coaches he had underneath. Vic Fangio leaves. Ed Donatell probably leaves. There's a whole bunch of guys down the line that could have left with him. So, and he's coming in the first job he's ever had as a head coach. He's got to build an offensive staff when he knows he can't bring guys with him from Kansas City. So, it was the biggest no-brainer of no-brainers, because you also have the general manager, the guy who just hired you, that knows how important it is to keep Vic too, and they have a good relationship.
Yeah, that's the point I wanted to make. That's the most underrated part, I think, about the whole entire Vic Fangio conversation. Yes, Matt Nagy had to sign off on his rehiring or keeping Vic Fangio, I should say. But Ryan Pace's relationship is a tight one with Vic Fangio. They are very close. They see eye to eye on a lot of players in terms of scouting them, whether it's in the pro ranks or college ranks. Very tight relationship, same type of work ethic. That bond helped keep Vic Fangio in place for Matt Nagy.
And that's an impressive job by Ryan Pace, considering, hey, yes, Vic will interview you to be the head coach, but yeah, I'm hiring this 39, now 40-year-old guy, and will you please stay? That's not an easy conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of awkwardness of it. And there's so many egos in the NFL that there's a lot of coaches that, okay, I'm coming out of contract, they didn't hire me for the big job, I'm going to go somewhere else. That, though, speaks to, again, and I can't harp on this enough, you hear it sort of as a cliche, but it doesn't really apply much across the NFL if we're being honest about it. But Ryan Pace really, truly is trying to build good people throughout the organization. Like, yes, genuinely good people. That matters to him. That's a thing that really actually does matter to Ryan Pace. And it's who he actually is, too. So whether we're talking about just some of the people that work behind the scenes at the desks at Hallis Hall, to the head coach, the assistants, but also the players. Stacey Dales brought up earlier just the atmosphere with this team, the locker room, and how different it is. Well, there hasn't been drama. Like, has there been any drama this year?
No.
The biggest drama we've had is sometimes getting a hold of Khalil Mack on Fridays.
Yes.
And Eddie Jackson wouldn't talk to us today.
Yes.
But we're not talking about press conferences with Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall walking in with a stack of papers to hand out to the media.
Or the press conference came in with the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Remember that?
Yeah. Mark Carmen got a tie out of that one press conference. Do you still have it?
I probably do somewhere. It was nice and green, and I was very much in
Mark
love.
Mark Potash still has his green shirt from that one day.
I mean, Brandon Marshall was doing a trivia show. The helicopters. That was our drama.
Yes.
But that was created by the media. That wasn't... And honestly, it was just Sarah Gendra fixing Cody Parkey. I continue to give her all the credit
in the world to Sarah. I just go back to when Trestman actually had like a winning team. That locker room was just so different. Remember, you had angst with like Charles Tillman and Lance Briggs still there. You had Jay Cutler kind of coming into his own as a different type of character in this town. You had Brandon Marshall. You had Martellus Bennett. Forget about him. I mean, his brother's coming to town, but he was another big personality in that locker. I mean, it was just different. The sideshows were there.
Earl Bennett's been out with me a bunch lately, and he talked about how they had this great receiver group then, and after practice, they would play cards in the corner. Maybe you guys saw this. And Trestman comes over. They're playing cards. And Trestman comes over there and it's like, stop doing this. This is not, you know, he shut down the card game. Like, we've been playing this card game for 5 years here. Yeah. He's like, we're changing the culture here. Like how often?
Well, let me tell you about card games.
That's funny.
They go on every day at Hallis Hall.
There's now couches set up on both ends of the locker room with the table, and they're playing. It's actually a detriment to us because it's hard for us to sometimes interrupt the card game and be the bad guy that's pulling one of the players out to do an interview. But then we brought up the basketball hoops earlier within the locker room. I mean, Nagy's all for that type of stuff.
A lot of guys playing horse, yeah.
All right, back to Fangio. Let's talk a little bit about the opportunities in front of him. He's expected to interview with the Broncos and the Dolphins. Now, just real quick. Those are the only two reported interviews for the guy that's running the best defense in the league.
Correct.
All right? There's 8 jobs open. It's interesting to me that he's not getting more than 2 interviews, unless there's something we don't know about. But usually these interviews are pretty transparent, and teams announce them these days. It's not the only secret interviews happen with college coaches who don't want that out there with, you know, to mess with recruiting. So what's the best fit? I mean, he's supposed to interview with the Broncos. He's supposed to interview with the Dolphins. Adam Johns, do you actually view those as either actually good fits for Vic, who, as much as he didn't really want to talk about this when we talked to him yesterday, he did say, you know, the fit matters, the culture matters. One thing that he didn't talk about but also should always matter, especially if you're a defensive coach coming in, is who's the quarterback?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the who's the quarterback question is one reason why he only has 2 interviews. You have Sam Darnold with the Jets. Obviously, they're going to look for their version of Matt Nagy or Sean McVay. You have Josh Rosen with the Cardinals. Obviously, they're going to look for their own version of Sean McVay or Matt Nagy. That's what they want. That's what they should go get. It clearly works for the Bears. It clearly works for the Rams. So that's why Vic Fangio's options are limited. In terms of the Broncos, in terms of the Dolphins, I don't see either of them being a good fit for Vic Fangio. I don't. There's been too much activity with those organizations over the past several seasons. There's been too many tumultuous things going on. You heard Vic Fangio say in that highlight reel that our guy Joey Jojo put together here, he wants a good situation. I don't know if those situations fit a Vic Fangio.
I agree, but what I will say is if they're... I think it can work in Denver. What I would be worried about is John Elway's situation. Is he going to be the GM beyond next year? When we were in Denver for a whole week back in August, that was a big conversation. By the way, they take their football in Denver very, very seriously. They got the team has their own radio station.
Yeah.
They have
their own radio row during practices.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still blown away by that. But a lot of that conversation was how long is John Elway going to be here? And it was kind of widely accepted that like his contract's up after next season. Is he still going to be there? So that would be one thing if I'm Vic Fangio. And this is exactly why the Bears extended Ryan Pace last year. When everyone was like, why would you do that? That's why you do it. Because if you want to attract good head coaches, you can't have the GM getting fired a year later, because that's not good job security if you're Vic Fangio. Well, the reason why I think that's a decent fit, though, I'd be worried if I was him about John Elway. I'd be worried if I was Vic about the quarterback, because Case Keenum's not the answer, and they don't have a high enough draft pick to get Dwayne Haskins. But the defense,
it's good.
It's a good fit for him. You got Von Miller, you got Bradley Chubb. There's good pieces out there, and it's something that continue to be built up with the right coach. So it also, for him, gets him closer back out west. We know he likes California.
Yeah, but hold on a second. He's 60 years old.
Yes, that matters.
And I think it's pretty clear that he wants to be a head coach. He talks about it in ways that he doesn't leave. I mean, he's not preparing for the interviews. We heard of that, but it's pretty clear he wants to be.
Yeah.
So he did say that depends on the situation. I think he'd take any gig. You offered taking it.
I tend to agree, too.
Let me lay something out for you guys. He wants to be a head coach, but he wants to win as well. Let's not forget that he famously chose the Bears over a Packers offer. He said no to Aaron Rodgers and what they were cooking up there. He didn't feel right about that situation. He felt the Bears. He had a good feeling about the Bears. He liked Trubisky. He liked the future.
But I guarantee you, he also could sense that Mike McCarthy was.
No, I know that's part of it. But you know what? Maybe it's his last hurrah. Maybe Aaron Rodgers puts a Super Bowl run together. That's what I'm talking about. Vic Fangio, being in his 60s, also wants that Super Bowl title.
That matters. That matters.
Where would he get that faster?
Yeah, but to be the head guy,
I know. I mean,
you gotta take your shot, don't you? I would
look.
Think.
I know it's been a long time coming for him, and part of that's probably unfair, but it's been a long time coming for a Super Bowl title too.
Well, maybe he gets that and leaves.
That's what it could be. Yes, yes.
Well, also too, just as far as him getting hired, the career. I love him. Love listening to him. Gives you a straight answer, but the charisma to be a head coach. I mean, this is not even Matt Nagy anywhere close. I mean,
he's got a different type of charisma.
Yeah.
Very straightforward, very dry sense of humor.
Also, he's liked, though. This isn't like John Fox where he's going out of his way to not help you. Vic gives us decent answers if you ask the right questions, and he'll have fun with you. And he's been nothing but professional and respectful towards us, too.
But you think he could lead a team? Like front.
Well, absolutely. Yes, yeah. You talk to those guys in that locker room. I mean, no player in that locker room, and I would say offensive players too, even though they don't play for him on the defensive side, no one wants to see Vic leave.
Oh, I get that. He sort of seems like a Romeo Crennel type. Phenomenal defensive coordinator, really respected by his guys.
And that's the thing, we don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he won't make it as a head coach. Real quick, I want to kind of play a matching game with some of these jobs that are open right now. I'm going to pencil Vic Fangio in, though, as the fit for the Broncos. Not completely sold on it, really more from his stance, but I think the Broncos could definitely do worse than hiring Vic Fangio. From their side of things, I would be interested in him. A little music behind us. I like this.
JoJo's awesome.
All right. The New York Jets.
Pressure is on.
The New York Jets. Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy has been given a little bit of a bad rap here for It's like all of a sudden there's this consensus that he's a bad coach and should have been fired a long time ago. Guy, you know how hard it is to be a head coach in one place for 13 years? So he goes New York. He gets a young guy in Sam Darnold, who I still think could be pretty good. I like that fit for Mike McCarthy.
Sticks with the grain. Okay.
How about Miami? I'm going to throw you a curveball here.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Adam John sneezes, by the way, are very...
I had the mic off. You heard that?
I know, but...
That's a man sneeze.
Yeah, they're very common here on the podcast.
You're allowed to sneeze on a Hogan Johns on the radio Friday night extravaganza. You go right into the mic.
I had my mic off.
It was fine.
That's just the recording.
Of his actual sneeze. It's not like it was pulled off the internet. That's actually Adam Johns. How about Jim Harbaugh? In Miami.
No way.
Never. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope.
I knew I'd get him.
A lot of commotion.
Joe loves his Brooklyn boogie.
Nope. That's out.
Just throwing
That's Miami's owner is a Michigan grad.
Stephen Ross loves himself some Jim Harbaugh. If I'm Jim, I would seriously consider leaving. You don't beat Ohio State next year when Urban Meyer's not there. You might be in some trouble. And everyone dismisses Jim Harbaugh. The guy did nothing but win when he was with the 49ers. I know he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but he had four really good seasons, and then they went straight in the tank once he left. He knows what he's doing.
How many pair of khakis does that man own?
More than me. I got one. I wear them every week for Northwestern.
Guys, two. Listen, Michigan, I don't think, would ever fire him. To your other point there, I don't think like they'd ever kick him out, even if he keeps losing. And he was great in the NFL, but the dude's just too weird. He's
just so, you know what, Carms? You're weird.
Yeah, but I'm wearing...
Every head coach is weird.
No, he's...
You know what's weird? That Matt Nagy doesn't seem weird.
That's true, too. Matt Nagy's like the most normal guy ever to coach an NFL team. Really is.
Isn't he?
He really is. Like,
that's weird. Most coaches are...
But Harbaugh gives you that bizarre stare. It doesn't say anything. I can't do it.
We're running short here. How about Bruce Arians in Cleveland? It's the only job he said he'd take. He brings some respectability to that organization. Young quarterback. He took an Arizona Cardinals franchise that does nothing and got them to the NFC Championship game. I think it'd be a good fit for Cleveland. Where should Adam Gase go? Any guesses?
Green Bay.
Well, they do. They are interested. Josh McDaniels should go to Green Bay.
Okay. Where's Adam Gase
going? With Aaron Rodgers. He worked with Tom Brady. He knows how to handle a Hall of Fame quarterback. Adam Gase should go to Arizona. Work with Josh Rosen. Or New York would be fine, too, with the Jets. But I think Arizona's a good fit. He didn't get the quarterback he really needed in Miami. He did not get at least
the healthy one.
Exactly.
Where's Fox going? Where's Trusty ending up here? Bring back Lovey.
Not doing that. Zach Taylor, the quarterback coach from the Rams, should go to Tampa. And Eric Bieniemy, the new Matt Nagy.
Yes.
The offensive coordinator in Chiefs, should go to Cincinnati.
Okay. Hugh Jackson's going to show up there again.
Nope.
That was a solid trip around. All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Andre Darlis from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We got one more hour of the Hogue and Johns podcast on WGN Nightside on 720 WGN.
Chase had an idea on Twitter to have the whole stadium do your boom.
Chase.
Right at the start.
Boom.
Of the game.
Is he going to lead it?
I don't know. It's caught a little bit of fire.
It has.
Just curious what you think about that since it's your celebration.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it might be pretty cool, I guess. When are you going to do it?
Yeah, I think the idea was right at the start of the game.
Oh.
I'm not in charge of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I want to know who the person is going to synchronize all those people. But I'm sure it can be done. Again, that just happened organically. That was not, I think it was the Detroit game on Thanksgiving, my memory serves me right. But it just, so it's kind of caught fire. Now we do it. Now they're asking me for it, so I got to do it. And now I'm starting to kind of have fun with it.
Hogan John, 720 WGN.
We just got a new press release from the Chicago Bears tonight. Adam Hogue has officially been named the boom
director
expert, director of boom.
I'm not the boom guy.
That was
not the
awesome.
Boom guy, the director of
it
boom.
It sounded like Nagy was putting him in charge of... I was like,
you're the boom guy.
I just shut it down real fast. I did my part. I brought it up in the press conference.
You did your part.
Coach should talk about.
My favorite part of that whole exchange is his laugh at the very end at you. That was outstanding.
Chase.
Boom.
So can we reset where the boom started, how it started, then became now borderline phenomenon in Chicago, the Matt Nagy boom? Because maybe I feel like I'm late to the boom party, which I'm sure other people are late to the boom party, well, too. Well,
he mentioned it in there that it started organically in Thanksgiving.
The Detroit game.
One more!
That's one of the last ones. That's the one we heard in Minnesota, I believe.
I think so.
Through the concrete walls, I might add.
So, yeah, for those who don't know, they do the club dub thing in the locker room. It came from Joe Madden. They get the disco ball out. They have dance parties after they win. Well, then that shuts down. The coach talks to the team. And then he just started doing this thing where, like, while he's talking, all of a sudden he goes, boom. And
it's caught on.
The players love it. So now, Chase Daniel, and actually, I didn't even realize, this is actually a tweet from a couple weeks ago that just started to get...
Pat Finley's story.
Yeah, so Pat Finley...
Always making the podcast.
Our guy Pat Finley and his laugh wrote a story on the boom thing, and then Chase Daniel retweeted it and said, wouldn't it be cool if at the start of the game, all the fans... just went boom, like right at the kickoff, which I think would actually be pretty cool and is doable.
The best boom that he did is where Nagy pretended to juggle balls, like in the air, like he's a juggler. Yeah. And then boom.
See, Bears game day operations should...
It's on there.
Is it?
But it's not as prominent. It comes after the game. I think it's at halftime, too. But it's not as prominent as Chase Daniel and Adam Hogue, the director of Boom, wants to have it this Sunday.
You think it's too taunting of the opposition if you got a whole boom situation going on?
You already have an air raid siren going. What's the big difference?
Can you imagine, after a touchdown, crowd's going crazy. Now if you did it every kickoff... And the whole stadium is just became the kickoff thing.
Or after every touchdown, how sweet would that be if the whole place was just going boom after touchdowns? It was reverberating through the stadium. That'd be amazing. This is like a huge opportunity right now. I mean, you're building a whole thing.
Would be better than the Bear Raid siren, which is obviously artificial. It's been organic, this boom phenomenon, right? Director of Boom,
boom baby.
I have been looking, you know, for things to be the director of. So maybe this is an untapped market that I can dive into and really make my millions of dollars in the
world.
You'll
be like that guy in the college sidelines with the big board of like various pictures.
It's a boom.
Just big boom.
I'm just seeing the vision of, look, the Bears have always been the number one team in the city, but for the last whatever it is, at least 4, 5, 6 years, borderline irrelevant. I mean, not talked about anywhere near to the level that they were, and it may be talked about, but just not the excitement. And now it's like it's all coming back, and they're likable, and you've got this head coach, and you've got the quarterback. There's an opportunity here for the for them to really grab the city like they haven't in forever. Like I would say,
start new traditions.
Right, I think even more than the Peanut Tillman, Brian Urlich. I think they have an ability to get even more embedded in the city now with the characters that they have, and they had some characters then.
Well, you mentioned the head coach, and look, that locker room loved some Lovie Smith.
Right, but he was horrible.
This is different. No, he wasn't a horrible coach, but he didn't exude charisma, natural charisma. Nagy's different.
I mean,
publicly different.
Right. I mean, public, like, fans of Lovie, like,
that matters. That does matter in terms of perception.
I think it totally does. Like, fans of Lovie, like, they respected him. He's quiet. He's well-spoken. He's Lovie. The players love him. But it wasn't like you never wanted to hear him talk, even people that loved Lovie. This is, I mean, man.
This club dub phenomenon in year one, this boom phenomenon, it's unheard of. This did not happen in year one of Trestman. This did not happen in year one of Lovie Smith. This did not happen in year one of Dave Wanstead. Dick Turan. We could go on and on. This is something special. Something different.
I'm getting excited.
The players are...
You're standing.
On. Yeah.
All right.
He could have his own restaurant. A lot of things could happen.
As director of Boom...
Yes. Go ahead.
I would actually like to see this executed on Sunday. Now I'm into it.
Now you're really going to spread the message.
I also think Pat Finley's a little jealous that I became the director
of Boom. Yes, yeah. Yes. He's just Flannel Friday guy.
Nagy. Nagy ripped Pat today for wearing flannel.
Again.
That's good.
Flannel Friday that's good. Guy.
Should we talk about the...
yes, we should.
The Matt Nagy problem?
Yeah,
that's not really a problem?
So, okay.
people should go to WGNRadio.com and read Adam Hoge's Bears blog. It's your 10 things this week. Number one, you dove into last year, Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are up 21-3 on the Tennessee Titans. They lose the game 22-21. He was calling the plays, and a lot of people blamed him. Blame Nagy for it, which on the surface you would think you were calling the plays. How do you lose that game? And then you did the deep dive, watched the whole game back.
Well, a little background on this is that he not only did he get the criticism and the blame, but if you may remember his introductory press conference here at Halas Hall, he accepted the blame. I mean, he used the word failure. He said he would learn from it.
Character.
And I'll admit that that's where I think I fell into. I don't know if it's a trap or whatever, but I wasn't analyzing that game like I was in Kansas City trying to figure out what went wrong. But when he comes out and accepts the blame, you know, it's just sort of been this thing that we all thought all year, that Matt Nagy struggled as the play caller in the playoffs last year, wild card game at home, big favorites against the Titans, very similar situation as he's walking into this week, which is why it came up again. So he was asked Monday by Mark Potash from the Sun-Times about that game and what he learned from it. And he said there was only one play call that he had a problem with. That's what struck me, because I'm going, well, wait a minute. You took all this blame last year, but it was only one play. So I actually went back and rewatched the whole game this week. And what I found was a very different situation than what than what was kind of portrayed after the game, even by Matt Nagy. Now, for all the details, go read it at WGNRadio.com/Bears. But the bottom line is, like, there's some things like, okay, there was 21-3. Well, he didn't call another play until it was 21-10. It was an 11-point game because the Titans went on an 8-minute drive to start the second half before the Chiefs even got the ball back.
So you got an 11-point game. It's midway through the third quarter. You're going to sit on the ball?
Pass that.
Right. Okay.
And also very relevant in that moment, Alex Smith went 19-23 in the first half for 231 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a Mitch Trubisky game in one half. And they had all the success throwing the ball. It's the first time they're touching it in the third quarter. You don't change your offense. Okay, and then the other thing is, he actually only called 11 plays with the lead. That's what's totally lost. The main criticism was, how did Kareem Hunt only get 5 carries in the second half when you had an 18-point lead? Which sounds like a very valid criticism. There were only 11 plays, though, when they had the lead because the defense blew it so quickly. And 5 out of 11 is actually very good balance.
Yeah, you can't have a problem with that.
And the kicker missed a field goal, which is relevant. And the biggest thing, here's the Titans' second half. Touchdown, 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 kneel down to end the game. I mean, I'm just struggling to find where the offensive coordinator is to blame in any of this. And going back and watching it just confirmed it.
Well, flash forward to today. Was it today where you said, I've never had a defense like this? Might have been yesterday, but it was this week.
Definitely didn't have it last year in Kansas City.
They were, what, 28th overall? I could look up a bunch of different stats. They're not what the Bears are. Statistically, the Bears have the best defense in the league. And look, with all due respect to the Ravens, some of the most important statistics, some of the most important advanced statistics tell you the Bears have the best in the league. Last year, the Chiefs did not have that whatsoever.
So the one play call that I think he regretted, because he said he couldn't remember and he didn't tell us, but there was a 3rd and 1 where he ran kind of a gimmicky quarterback option. Alex Smith was stuffed in the backfield. Play didn't work. That was the first drive of the third quarter, though. It's not like it was a huge moment in the game. And then later, there was a 3rd and 2 that they threw the ball on. Orson Charles dropped it. Orson Charles, who's Orson Charles? Well, he was the backup tight end in the game because Travis Kelce suffered a concussion in the first half. Also very relevant to the second half performance for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, too many times play callers get blamed for failures from players. You have to still execute. So then the question is, why did Matt Nagy accept the blame then? Well, Andy Reid went to bat for him after the game. So here he is. He's leaving town. He's taking a new job in a new city. What's he going to do? Well, he's going to take the blame back because it doesn't matter anymore. He's not in Kansas City. Andy Reid's his guy. So I think that's why he did it. Meanwhile, there's been this whole sort of myth this entire year that Matt Nagy. Remember how much we talked about that when he was hired here? Like, I wish I had this context back then because it was such a big conversation.
It was a
How could you hire the guy that just blew the game?
Right.
He didn't blow the game, though.
Who's never been a head coach, who barely was an offensive coordinator. I mean, he was getting killed for it.
Truth is, maybe Matt Nagy has a better Bears team than the Chiefs were last year. Well, definitely on defense.
You know, it's funny, looking back on it, you could argue that maybe Patrick Mahomes should have been playing in that game.
Well, come on. Different conversation.
Different circumstance. But now you think about it, you go, I wonder if they would have won if Patrick Mahomes would have played. Again, though, it's not like Alex Smith was bad.
He had his best career year, I believe.
Well, in the first half. Again, 19 for 23, 231 yards, two touchdowns.
312-981-7200. Hogan Johns, the podcast, with you on 720 WGN till 10. And one more thing on the Nagy. Him taking the blame, to me, that's a credit to his personality, to his character. That he's, what's he going to do? Point the finger? You know, Alex Smith or your right. your backup tight end or Andy didn't let me. What's he owned it. That's what you. That's the only thing you do right there if you're in integrity. And I mean, I give him credit for it.
Yeah, and by the way, I chatted a little bit with Brian Witzman, the Bears' backup guard this week, because he was on that team. He actually started that game at left guard for the Chiefs. And ended up not using any of the quotes, but you could tell, I mean, very similar feelings from one of his offensive players, too. And he also didn't want to throw anybody under the bus, too. I mean, it's not like he would...
He's going to throw his former teammates under the bus then, yes.
Exactly. So it's a tough position to put him in to even comment on it, but that's part of the reason why I didn't end up using any of the quotes, but you could tell that's how the players felt, too.
Again, just to flash forward... To this year. It's why he tells Trubisky to trust his defense. He's learning. He's going to have his mistakes in his second year, first year in that offense. Trust your defense. Couldn't do that last year with Alex Smith.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
312-981-7200. Phone line, text line from the 406. This is Brian in Montana. Who used to coach the Eagles? Andy Reid. Who coaches the Chiefs? Andy Reid. Who's a student of Andy Reid? Matt Nagy. Andy Reid has never gotten to the Big Dance. Can Nagy get us there?
Great segue. Thank you to the texter, because Andy Reid actually did get to the Big Dance.
Yeah.
Do you know what year he did that?
Andy Reid got to the... I don't.
I believe it was 2002. Do you know he beat in the divisional round that year? I got the year right on the Super Bowl, right? For the Eagles? I think it was 2002.
Well, he got there with Donovan McNabb.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, so that was when they beat the Bears, what was it, 33-19?
Well, you're thinking about the Hugh Douglas game where Jim Miller got slammed.
And that team went to the Super Bowl?
I believe it was that team. We'll have to double check that.
Well, that era of Eagles football got to the Super Bowl.
He did make the Big Dance, if that's what we're calling it.
Lost to the Patriots.
And anyway, the reason it's a good segue is because I would like to go back and look at that 2002 game between the Philadelphia Eagles and Chicago Bears. If you're not already pumped up for this game, we'll give you a little bit of a revenge to think about.
All right, get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. Weekdays 4 to 10 going back in Bears-Eagles playoff time.
Also, real quick, 312-981-7200. From this point on until 10 o'clock, we are open to take your predictions. Meatball-y or not meatball-y, whatever you want to. You want to give us bold predictions of what we do on the Hogan Johns podcast, predictions for the game. Phone lines are open for the next, 37 more minutes? We'll take your predictions the rest of the way.
Text line as well, 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN.
Hogan Johns.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Let's get you back out to Hogan Johns, already in progress on 720 WGN.
9:27 Friday night, Hogan Johns on the WGN Nightside till 10. Mark Harmon sitting along with Bears and the Eagles on Sunday.
Quick correction.
Yeah.
Because that was not the year the Eagles went to the Super Bowl.
03?
05.
05, right.
They played the Patriots. That year, the Patriots beat the Rams, who beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. But that was the year that the Eagles played the Bears in the playoffs. So it was the 2001 season. It was the 2002 playoffs game played at Soldier Field.
How'd Jim Miller do?
Eagles 133-19. Here's what I'm going to read straight from the game notes. I don't know if I've done this all year, but this is the actual Chicago Bears game notes. In the 2001 divisional playoff at Soldier Field, Eagles, which was actually January 2002. I don't know why they just don't call it the 2002 playoffs. People know the new year. Eagles kicker David Akers hit four field goals, and Philadelphia's defense held Chicago in check. Quarterback Jim Miller was knocked out of the game in the second quarter because of a separated shoulder.
Ouch.
And then changed the rule after that, you know? They change it when Tommy gets hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Miller
Tommy. Yeah, exactly. Quarterback Donovan McNabb completed 26 of 40 passes for 262 yards and rushed for 37 more. Akers kicked a 40-yard field goal to put the Eagles up 23-17 in the final quarter. And when Chicago's Autry Denson fumbled the ensuing kickoff after a hit by Tim Hawk.
Wait.
Quentin,
who?
Yeah.
Who fumbled? Autry Denson?
Yeah.
Who is that?
I was watching highlights earlier.
I don't know.
They had trips right with Marty Booker, great player. I mean, for the Bears, I guess.
Enormous hands.
Ahmed Merritt and Dwayne Bates. That team hosted a playoff game.
Right. I love Dwayne Bates. Bring him back.
Dwayne Bates, Northwestern.
Go Cats. Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of these players. I know Donovan McNabb is. Responded by, after getting sacked, he eluded the Bears, found Staley on a 14-yarder to get Akers and field.
Deuce!
Too many field goals. Who cares? McNabb then had a 5-yard touchdown run with 3:21 to go. Shane Matthews filling in for Jim Miller.
Yes.
Managed only one offensive touchdown. Ooh. Defense got them a third quarter lead when Jerry Azuma grabbed a deflected pass and raced 39 yards for a touchdown to put the Bears up 14-3.
Who's zooming who?
McNabb led the Eagles on 11 play, 69-yard nice drive in the final minute of the first half.
Did it really say nice drive?
I added that word.
Okay.
Scrambling out of a Bears rush, hitting Cecil Martin for a 13-yard touchdown with 14 seconds to go.
This is a nighttime story, by the way, for kids going to bed right now.
None of this is in order, by the way. Did anyone notice this? That put up.
Yeah, it was a beatdown, and then the Bears were winning all of a sudden. That was a little lost there.
Now we're somewhere where it's 13-7. I don't know how this score is going in this order. 5 minutes after Chicago's Ahmad Merritt. My guy Ahmad Merritt. I played basketball with him in Vernon Hills. He's still around.
Go Ahmad.
We're getting the Cliff Notes here, too.
Yeah, Wisconsin grad.
Former Bears that we played basketball against, who played against the Eagles in a playoff game. I used to play against Mo Douglas, who played in the Fog Bowl and had a pick six in that game. Continue on, please.
1988 Fog Bowl.
Loved
we
it.
All had basketball connections. The former Bears played against the Eagles in the playoffs.
This is amazing.
Who's yours?
I don't have one.
Oh, come on.
I can't feel the synergy in the moment here.
Kicked out of off the island here. Okay. This was way more confusing than I thought. I thought I was going to read it.
Okay, the game changed when Hugh Douglas picked up Jim Miller and body slammed him and dislocated his shoulder.
And some guy named Autry Denson fumbled.
That happened too. Poor Jim Miller. Talked to him today, by the way.
How's his shoulder doing?
Look, they felt so good about that team. And that was a tight game at that point. They led in the third quarter.
Well, they were the 2 seed.
Yes, they led in 13-3. They led in the third quarter.
Bears-Eagles playoff memories for 500. 312-981-7200.
Hugh Douglas changed that game.
The Fog Bowl's got to be the best one, right?
If you saw it.
The Fog Bowl, the Bears were going to lose to the Eagles that day. And then that was the 85 Bears on their very, very, very last legs. And the fog rolled in and they won.
Well, this will be the fourth playoff matchup between these two teams. Eagles are 2-1. Bears got the Fog Bowl.
2-2 after Sunday.
Hogan Johns.
Doug was the guy that I really leaned on and relied on when Coach Reed wasn't around. We had many nights talking X's and O's, watching lots of video every day for 6 years. So we have a great relationship. I have a ton of respect for him and just really happy for what he's done with the Eagles.
Now back to Hogan Johns on 720 WGN.
9:37, the Hogan Johns podcast with you till the top of the hour.
The sound production tonight has been unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Joe Romano and Ernie Skatton are guys
the
getting
best.
It done.
The best.
Ernie makes it sound like we're legitimately doing the biggest broadcast in the history of radio. Like this is...
Wait, we're not?
Well, good point, Adam. That's exactly right. We are. I don't know where my head was.
I thought I covered this at the top of the show. The Hogan Johns podcast, we bring it with playoff intensity.
Every damn time.
No matter what episode it is. Which, by the way, I believe this is episode 211, officially, of the Hogan Johns podcast. We've been doing this for 4 years now.
We're international.
I mean, it's something that started...
We gave a birthday shout-out to somebody in Scotland.
We did do that, and I pronounced Glasgow wrong.
How'd you say it?
I said Glasgow.
Let's just go a little.
Because I'm from Chicago. It's Glasgow.
It's not Glasgow?
No, it's Glasgow.
Glasgow. Doesn't make sense.
And where can you listen to this podcast? For those wondering where you can listen to this podcast?
WGNradio.com.
Just like that.
Or on whatever app. Most people listen to podcasts through their apps. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search Hogue and Johns and hit that subscribe button.
And let's talk about the moment where you guys looked into each other's eyes and said, let's do a podcast. Who brought it to who? How did it go down? I'm guessing Adam Hogue was leading this charge.
Well, he courted me.
Really, what happened was is we're in training camp 4 years ago, and I have an idea what podcasts are, and I'm thinking this is going to be ahead of the game. There were no Bears podcasts out there. So I started doing one by myself. And it didn't take me long to be like, this is really boring. One guy just talking about the Bears.
I love the solo podcast.
He would do these random interviews with every reporter he could get in the courtyard of Olivet
Nazarene. Right, and then you quickly run through the Rolodex of the 10 people on the beat.
Can't talk to Brad Biggs again.
What they didn't all realize was it was all an audition.
Uh-huh.
And John's won. It changed his life.
Yes.
And when did you guys look into each other's eyes and bring in
Joey Jojo, damn it.
That's right.
Joe did change everything once we brought Joe in.
I mean, there's not many podcasts that actually have a legit producer who does things. The fact that you get Joey...
It's true.
The fact that you got Joe Romano to do this for you is incredible. I mean, you don't really do anything nice for him, do you? Seriously, have they ever done anything for you?
Whoa, be careful here, because I did something nice today.
Like what?
Gave a piece of gum.
Piece of gum?
I bought dinner tonight for the guy who stuck around all day.
What was the dinner?
Worked at, 3 o'clock this morning till now?
What was the dinner?
Chipotle.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was only because we went to like 17 different places at 5 o'clock on a Friday and nothing was open.
Yeah, apparently 303 East Wacker is located in the Loop.
Yeah. There's not a lot of options. You're lucky that you didn't get Bockwinkles over there, which is the fine supermarket deli down the street.
Bockwinkles?
Yeah, that's what I had for dinner.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
It was delicious. I loved it, but I'd rather have it's no Chipotle. With all due respect to the lovely people at Bockwinkles. All right.
There goes that endorsement.
Bockwinkles. If there's nothing else around, they will do the job.
It doesn't help
you
either.
That reminds me, a former boss of mine used to go there all the time.
The former
boss
who works in a building nearby.
Oh, okay. He's a big Bockwinkles guy
all the time.
Yeah, all right.
Bockwinkles.
312-981-7200. I'm just curious. Favorite moments for everybody on the season. Hopefully, the everyone's favorite moment is going to be sometime in about 3 weeks when the Bears are in Atlanta, or maybe the favorite moment will be beating the Rams. I think a lot of people are looking at this like it's the 84 Bears, 1 year away from a Super Bowl. That team beat the Redskins in the playoffs, ended up losing to the Niners, and then that changed, obviously, the next year when they won the Super Bowl.
We've talked about that quite a bit on the podcast this season, especially in the last month or so. I think that's actually the wrong prediction. There's a few reasons why I don't like it. One is because, like, if God forbid Vic Fangio's gone, defense changes.
Can't carry him off in the sideline without him.
Another thing that you can find in my 10 Bears things this week, have you looked at the schedule next year?
Tough.
It's insane. You're going to play the Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Cowboys. There's actually a scenario where every team the Bears play on the road to the Super Bowl this year, if they make it that far, they would have rematches against next year.
Yeah, it does feel like a whole letdown potential coming
here. And if Vic Fangio goes to Denver, you actually go to Denver next season. I mean, the schedule next year is outstanding.
You guys don't think Fangio's leaving, correct?
I do not. I'm not sure he's going to have an offer. It's kind of the...
Right.
I think if he has an offer, I think we sort of differ. I definitely think he would take it. John seems to think he'd stay, depending on what it is.
It'd have to be the most ideal situation there is. I don't think the Broncos and the Dolphins present that. As far as your original question, Carm, favorite moment of, we'll call it the regular season?
Yeah, or most impressed by the team moment, however you want to phrase it.
I know mine.
Go ahead.
It was in a loss. I think because they lost the game, one of the greatest Bears performances we've ever seen got kind of glossed over. But what Khalil Mack did at Lambeau Field week one, 5 days after getting traded to a new team and a defense he's never played in, when he missed all of training camp, he was unbelievable in that game. He was an absolute game wrecker. He gets the pick six to go along with it. That was, I think, the most impressed I've ever been with one single player at a game I've covered, ever.
To kind of go off that, I would say it's a collection of moments against the NFC North, whether it's Trubisky completely torching the Lions, whether it's Eddie Jackson's pick six in Detroit. They went 5-1 against the division this year.
What a job, they should have won.
Yeah, how many wins did John Fox have against the division in 3 years? Three?
Yeah, and he had zero last year.
Zero last year. That is quite the turnaround. That is such a difference in what the Bears are this year.
Joey Jojo, favorite moment, most impressed moment?
Bears? Oh, winning the division at home against the Packers. Mm-hmm. Knocking them out of playoff contention. Easy.
That sounds like a true, true Bears fan sitting there on the mic. That is a Joe Romano in his 5-year-old sweatpants, growing up.
Zubas.
There it is, right.
A-Train jersey.
Little number 35, baby.
Neil Anderson, anybody?
Anthony Thomas,
yeah,
come on.
I got you, okay.
Michigan.
Let me sort of bird dog off of Adam Hogue's biggest moment came in the loss. The fact that they were able to send the game against the New York Giants into overtime, mm-hmm, with that preposterous play call that I didn't even know what happened, because we were already in the Hamp and OB and Cos postgame show. I didn't know who caught it, who threw it, or anything that happens. Like, and then all of a sudden they're in overtime. Like, that was ridiculous. That whole
why was it preposterous?
They did a double reverse drag. Taylor Gabriel threw it right to, or who to, to Tariq Cohen threw it to Anthony Miller. I mean, are you kidding me?
And a second read.
That's
it was the Dabrowski double fake deluxe.
I mean, that was unbelievable. That's the play call, and it worked. It worked. And for whatever reason, the defense. You want Bob Dabrowski again?
I don't know. Okay. I was trying to give him credit for a play, even though I know that it's not the same play.
Bob Dabrowski has called again, which is that's a radio faux pas. You only get to make one call, but you're Bob Dabrowski, so whatever. You can have five calls a show. What's up, Bob?
Hey, boys. I got just a couple of bold predictions here. If you want them, from some of my guys, were going over game plans and came up with some bold predictions. If you want to hear.
Bold predictions.
Well, give me the sounder. Let's go.
I love that sound bite, though. That's great. All right, well, first I got my friend Jono Whitebread Barron here. He thinks that Tariq Cohen is going to get himself a punt return touchdown, or possibly they put him back there on kickoff and he gets one of those.
Okay.
He's due for one. He's due. And I don't disagree. These are all Dabrowski is certified approved. And we got Steve Ice Cold Water here, and he wants a key mix. He's going to score a defensive touchdown. It's bold, and I think he's right. There's going to be a defensive score. We all know that.
Isn't it weird that it's bold for Hicks to be scored a defensive touchdown instead of an offensive touchdown?
That's like, right. Freeze, your right's got to be coming.
That's what this team has become. It's incredible.
And he's got ice cold cold water in the room right now, which is somehow that ties in a weird way. Go ahead, Bob. What else you got? I love this.
Well, we got Andrew here, the Italian-Mexican stallion, and he thinks that Kevin White is going to get himself two touchdowns, which may be even bold for my blood, but he's got spicy blood, and I got to appreciate that, and we're going to go with that. K. White, two touchdowns.
Hey, Bob, how many people are at your party right now, the Dabrowski party?
We got the brain trust here. There's five of us.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, just one more. We got Joel Nelly. It's Kelly. He's got an elaborate one. He thinks that first off, Roquan Smith, he's going to get 13 tackles, six of which are going to go against Darren Sproles. Danny Trevathan and Roquan are going to team up to limit Darren Sproles to under 30 yards total. And Khalil Mack is going to knock him out of the game, hopefully not career-ending, because Sproles is a good guy, but he's going to get knocked out of the game, according to Big Dog here, the Big Bad Wolf.
So I just want to paint the picture. You've got five dudes in a room just hanging out, sitting, listening to the Hogan Johns podcast on 720 WGN on a Friday night. Is that accurate?
Pretty much, yeah. We got. It looks like World War II on our table here. We got drawing out all the diagrams and scheming up some more double deluxes.
What are y'all drinking?
PBR, the drink of the champions, the Angels.
Drink of the Angels.
Bob,
all right, Bob.
You're a hero, Bob. Thank you. That's your guy.
I don't think that Kevin White prediction's coming through.
I think it would be a bold prediction if he's active.
Yes.
Well, that was a huge thing, though, this week, that all the receivers are healthy, right? I mean, that was good news. And how about the give me a bold prediction. Who catches the most balls on Sunday?
Allen Robinson. Eight.
Eight?
Eight. Big day for Mitchell Trubisky with an eight.
You know, the... When we were talking about the Eagles earlier, it actually is a big deal whether or not Avante Maddox is active. He's dealing with an oblique, popped up on the injury report because he's the rookie. He was actually playing safety. Now he's playing corner. They're actually kind of weak at corner. They have another guy, Rasul Douglas, who I really liked actually coming out of West Virginia last year, third-round pick. He's been pretty good, but I mean, it's not like we're talking about lockdown corners here. So again, I go back to that offensive-defensive line matchup. If the Bears can contain Fletcher Cox up front, keep Mitch, clean, he could have a big day. I mean, this could be one of those days where Mitch actually puts up some big numbers.
It could be one of those quick throw days.
Yeah.
It absolutely sets up for that. Get the ball out fast. You have, obviously, all those linemen that we laid out earlier. Michael Bennett, Chris Long, Haloti Ngata, Fletcher Cox just was named to the All-Pro team today. Get the ball out fast. Allen Robinson. And even Taylor Gabriel going deep maybe once or twice can win their matchups outside.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel as far as the Bears' defense, but I don't expect teams to score on them. I really don't. If Nick Foles completes a pass on Sunday, which of course he will, I expect a Bears defender to be draped on the whoever is getting the football, be it a back out of the backfield or any of the receivers.
There is one matchup that concerns me, and for as well as Adam's guy, Sherrick McManus, has played in Bryce Callahan's place as your slot cornerback. He's going to face some pretty good guys there in the middle. And they put, we haven't talked about Zach Ertz at all. He's their best receiver, the tight end of the Eagles. Yeah. He goes everywhere. Put him in the slot against Sherrick McManus, I'd be concerned, very concerned.
And it is interesting, the Bears obviously like Bryce Callahan more than Craven LeBlanc. Callahan was having a great season before he got hurt, but now Craven LeBlanc is on the opponent. And has been playing pretty well for the Eagles this year, and so now it's Sherrick in the slot for the Bears, and he has been playing well. I think a big part of that is because of how good the defense is around him.
Absolutely.
So I don't really think that's going to change. There might be a play here or there.
Ertz is a matchup problem though.
Who covers him?
And
the variety of guys. You're gonna have to bracket him. You're gonna have to have safety over the top.
Roquan will be tested. I mean, Roquan Smith's covering tight ends a lot, and they do. The Eagles do a lot of 12 personnel. A lot of people listening know what 12 personnel means. A lot of people don't. That means two tight ends on the field at one time. And they've been running that out there with Dallas Goedert, their rookie out of South Dakota, their second-round pick, along with Zach Ertz. They have two really good tight ends that are going to test the Bears inside. They'll run a lot of crossing routes, too. And that is going to be kind of the vulnerable spot, maybe, for this Bears defense. But... you know, they've done such a good job of keeping things in front of them, coming up and making the open field tackles. They're not going to get beat deep. You can give up short passes here and there. I'm just not that worried about it.
You just look at the Vikings game. They got them in the third and sevens, third and eights so often.
Yeah,
that's tough. Then you can unleash Khalil Mack. Then you can let Leonard Floyd stunt inside. You can let Akeem Hicks do what he does in the middle and disrupt everything.
312-981-7200, your favorite moment of the year so far. Bears are going to hopefully top it on Sunday, and then Sundays after that for all the way to Atlanta. What's up, Jim and Antioch? Welcome to Hogan Johns on 720 WGN.
Yeah, the first game of the year, pregame, Obradovich predicted 47-0, and it was 20-0 at halftime. How fun was that? For the meatheads.
Yeah. And then they were calling for Ryan Pace after the game.
Yeah, then they wanted Matt Nagy fired after game one. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. I was like, whoa, are we really going to Nagy code red, get him out after game one?
That was insane. I mean, there's so much lead up to the first game and so much talk in training camp, the preseason, blah, blah, blah. And I'd come out so hard saying the Packers are going to be bad this year. Mike McCarthy's getting fired. The Bears are going to win this game. I think we both picked the Bears to win that game, right? We were one of the few that did. And you're feeling so good about it. They're up 20-0. You're like, everything we talked about, Nagy's going to have tricks up his sleeves. Everything's going to work for the Bears early. They're going to jump out to a lead. They're going to have Khalil Mack out there that's going to hold on to the lead. And then they just blow it. And you're like, where is the season going to go?
They injured Aaron Rodgers. He left the game on a cart.
And Kizer comes in and throws a pick six.
Yes.
To Khalil Mack.
That game.
How did they lose that game? It still doesn't make sense.
That was such a bad way to start the year. Trubisky was not. It was awful down the stretch. That was the only time this year that he melted down. He looked completely lost in the fourth
quarter. Remember that moment. And like you saw him against the Vikings late where he put together that 16-play drive. Yeah. Right, instead of going for the deep ball, going for it at all, started stacking completions, completion after completion, moving the chains, and they got their touchdown. Change of mindset, growth of a quarterback, Carm.
Right, no, 100%. And that was the thing. Like, what do you expect? The dude's it's his first head coaching game, and I bet he would like to take some of the play calls back in that one.
Yep. Didn't they have two third and shorts where they threw the ball?
Yeah, they threw the ball.
And I hate to. It goes back to the third and two I brought up in the wild card game last year with the Chiefs. You know, I think what good young offensive coaches realize is that a lot of short, you can scheme guys open so easily now with the rules on short passes that's just as high percentage as handing the ball off. Of course, the difference is the clock automatically stops if you don't complete it. And that's a big risk you take. But a lot of times, you know, a short slant to a guy that never drops the ball, who always finds a way to get open on a slant. I mean, that's probably a higher percentage play than handing the ball off when everyone knows you're going to do that. You're just making the risk of if you don't complete
it. And you know what? And if you lead the receiver a little bit. Mark Helfrich talked about it this week. The placement of the football and the passes could turn a 5-yard completion into a 15-yard completion. We saw that against the Packers the second time they played them.
Yep.
Al Robinson turned short completions into big gains.
And that was that has been an issue for Trubisky. It's what I was talking about earlier. It's what Nick Foles is so good at, the short throws leading his receivers. But 75% Mitch Trubisky's been on throws the last three games. Since that game against the Rams where he struggled, 75%.
No interceptions.
Now only three touchdowns. No interceptions is big.
Before we get on out of here, as we're coming up to the end, we're talking about the Green Bay game. We all agree, Bears should have won that game, right? Okay. Dolphins game, right?
Should have won.
Should have won. Giants game.
Should have won.
And what game am I missing?
Patriots.
Could have won.
They're up 17-7. People forget that.
Could have won. Team could be 16-0. So, 15-1, 14-2, like 12-4 is almost for what they should have done, what they put out there every week. It's almost an underachievement for how good they were.
Their point differential has stayed in the top five all year.
Yeah.
That's typically a sign of a very good football team.
So everybody here's picking the Bears against on Sunday, correct?
We actually have the same score.
What was that again?
24-13. Which I believe is the first time that's ever happened
in Hogan John's podcast history.
That's amazing synergy. It's Phil Emery's old
See,
word.
Now you're back in the circle.
Yes.
You didn't have the moment.
I didn't have the basketball
the
moment.
The basketball teammate of the former Bear played against the Eagles in the playoffs. It's a very unique group and club to get into. But
when you guys call each other up, Adam, it's Adam, or is it, hey, Hogue, it's Johns, it's Hogue? How does that go?
I usually call him Johnsy, which I went and spoke at his class, and I was trying purposely not to slip up and call him Johnsy because I knew his students would laugh, and they did.
He slipped up like 2 minutes into it.
Yeah. And immediately I saw one of the girls in the front row be like, Johnsy.
It's my hockey nickname. Blackhawks days.
Those are good days. That's history.
We've covered championship teams before, Carl.
That's history.
We know what's coming.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for letting me sit in with you guys tonight. Let's hopefully we get to do this again right all the way to Atlanta.
I believe the plan is if the Bears win, we're doing this again next Friday from L.A.
How about that?
Fingers, literally.
We just need the pizzazz. Here in Chicago?
I just tried to get out of the way and let you guys do what you do. Let's do it again. All the way to Atlanta. Thanks for letting me sit here. Hogan Johns, check it out at WGNradio.com. Have a great Friday night. Go Bears.
You know, I think Adam's had a good season.